previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
Morning, Cap. Let's go to John, see what John thinks about Cap's possibilities. John, is he going to get this right or wrong?
I don't think he's going to get it right. I'm going to say he's going to get it wrong.
I don't like you, John. That's not very nice. And I'm going to go the Tampa Bay Bucks of head coach John McKay. Guess what John gets for being wrong? He gets a bee sting and a bag of manure.
What are you like, Ross Perot?
I helped him on the manure part of it.
Now, you get a bee sting and a bag of manure. Yeah. Get a bag of manure. Yeah.
What the hell?
Live from downtown Chicago, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That was funny. Good morning. Friday morning, December 4th. 21 shopping days left. Good morning, everybody. I'm Dave Ennett. Andrea Darlis, a little bit under the weather this morning, a little bit of a scratchy throat, so we'll hold down the fort this morning. Vic is in the newsroom. Kevin is on the other side of the glass and handling sports in the first hour. Ross Cochran is there as well. Steve will be in just a little while. Hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show for this Friday. We've got our first holiday music selection coming up later in the program this morning. A busy show, and we'll tell you all about it. But first off, we want to bring you up to the minute on the events of the past, well, the past 36 hours or so, but specifically what's happened since the horrible tragedy in San Bernardino, California. ABC News correspondent Alex Stone is with us from San Bernardino this morning. And Alex, what have we learned in the roughly day and a half since this tragedy took place?
Well, good morning. Efforts are underway now to figure out what Syed Farouk and his wife, what they were up to in the months and weeks and days before they carried this out. The focus right now on the travel that they had to Pakistan and to Saudi Arabia, trying to figure out if there are any links to terrorism. And right now, the FBI says it just does not know. It's trying to piece together their whereabouts, what they were doing. We now know that they smashed their digital fingerprints, their computers, their thumb drives, their cell phones before they died. And that is making it tougher for the FBI to figure out who they were communicating with. They have sent those devices to a lab in Quantico, Virginia, to try to pull out that information. But it is going to be a little bit tougher. We understand from sources they completely destroyed those devices. So the effort is underway now to figure out, was this terrorism or was it something else?
But it sounds like, Alex, doesn't it, that they are operating under the assumption, or maybe they have to at this point, that it was terrorism?
Well, they're operating under the possibility that it was, mm-hmm. and that's why the FBI has taken over this investigation, which is uncommon for a mass shooter situation. Typically, the FBI will come in and support local law enforcement, but doesn't take over the case. In this situation, they have taken over the case because there is a Homeland Security component to it. There is a concern, what if there is somebody they were communicating with or somebody else in the U.S. who's going to carry out more? We now know they had quite an arsenal back in their home. They had 12 more bombs that were set up with remote detonation devices. They had thousands of rounds of ammo both in their car with them and back at their home. They had bomb-making materials there that it looked like, according to authorities, that they were planning to do something else, and maybe something else a lot worse than what they did here. What were they planning? That's what the FBI wants to know. Is anything else in danger? Were they working with anybody else? Nobody knows at this point, but they're trying to figure it out.
So as horrific as this was, 14 dead, many more hurt, it sounds like it could have been much, much more, much worse than it really was.
Yeah, you know, it always sounds cliche when we say it could have been worse than it was, but it's so true in this case that it could have been. And imagine if this had been going on, and then several hours later, if they had not been stopped by police, if they had carried out another attack at an airport or a shopping mall or something else, that this would have been trumped by that. Police are saying they believe when they killed them, that they were planning on doing something else and that they think they stopped that something else from happening. 23 officers were involved in the gun battle that took them down. 23 officers fired their guns. Over 300 rounds were fired at the suspects. It was a heck of a gun battle that went on in the streets here in San Bernardino. And, you know, we're also now hearing from the first responders who arrived here on scene at the center where I am right now. Last night we heard from Lieutenant Mike Madden. He was the first officer on scene. He said when he arrived, you could smell the gunpowder in the air. There were bodies everywhere. He said he noticed a Christmas tree up in the room and Christmas decorations. Clearly, they were having a celebration. Here's what he told us a couple of hours ago.
People who were obviously injured and obviously in great amounts of pain. And that was evident in the moans and the wails that we were hearing in the room.
He says he'll never forget it. And he said most police officers in this world will never see anything like it, where you walk in and there are 14 bodies or close to it. Some were transported. On the ground, people were bleeding, they were screaming for help, and he said at that time they still thought there was a shooter in the building, so they had to bypass everybody yelling, help me, and go look for that shooter. But he said the smells in the room, the fire alarms were going off, it was incredibly loud, they had to yell to each other, and they went in. The lesson learned after Columbine, you don't wait. He waited for one other officer to get there with them, and then they went in and tried to confront that shooter, but the attackers were already gone.
Alex, what have you heard from survivors?
They very few of them are talking. They've been asked not to by the FBI as the investigation is underway. We've heard from a lot of family members who have told stories about what they have been told. But they say that they were having this event. It was a meeting in the morning, and this is where the confusion. Some have called it a party. Some have called it training. What we now understand is it was training and workshops in the morning, and then in the afternoon it was transitioning to a Christmas party. And it was in the process of that. That's why the Christmas tree was up. The decorations were up. And they say that they were beginning the celebration part of the day. And that the gunmen and, well, the attackers, two of them, Syed and his wife, Farouk and his wife, they walked in and just began shooting. And one man who was in the bathroom said he heard explosion sounds, even though that likely was gunfire. None of the bombs ever went off. And they saw a bullet come through the wall. And they thought, we just have to get down, and they hid in the bathroom. Other people ran the best they could. Some people had no chance. They walked in with their AR-style rifles and just began shooting into the crowd.
Yeah, I heard that story. The man in the bathroom who was just drying his hands, and then the towel dispenser blew up, and then they knew they were in trouble. But unbelievable.
Yeah, and what do you do at that point? Do you try to run out of the bathroom? Do you stay in there? They opted to stay in there, and it probably saved their lives.
Alex, thanks for the update. We appreciate it.
You got it. Have a great day.
Thank you. ABC News correspondent Alex Stone in San Bernardino. Right now, let's get to traffic. Time 21, 720 WGN, hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show. Nick D will be on with Steve in the next half hour. He's hanging out with us now. Later on, Lou's first call, Lou Manfredini at 620. Anita Alvarez is on the program this morning. Is that right, Kev? At 7:10.
Yep.
We've got some Blackhawks tickets to give away. Hampo on the Bears at 7:40. Dean's back today. We have our first holiday musical performance of the Christmas season. The Apollo Theater Chorus will be live in studio. You won't want to miss that at 8:40 this morning. Tom Jones, is that the Tom Jones?
The Tom Jones has a new book out.
Oh, I saw that. Yes, yeah. So Tom Jones at 9:10.
And Tom Jones?
Tom Jones.
Oh, man. He's the man.
He's the man.
Got a new book out called Over the Top and Back, so we'll talk to him about that at 9:10.
Oh, man.
How about that?
That's awesome. My mom will go nuts.
You got to say, what's new, Pussycat? Mm-hmm. Well, that was his song, right? Am I wrong?
Yes, yes. No, you're right.
It was, and
yes.
It's not unusual.
Yeah.
Go Cats.
And go Cats.
There you go. All right. So anyway, lighten the mood a little bit after the discussion of San Bernardino. As you probably know, there was a big football game last night, Thursday night football, between the Lions and Packers. A lot of interest for Bears fans last night. Detroit won in Green Bay last month. Last night they had the rematch at Ford Field in Detroit. Looked like it was going to be all Lions. Detroit got up 17-0 in the first quarter, led 20-0 at halftime. But it's like, Nick, in those horror films that you love. When you think that the villain or the bad guy has been killed, and at the end, they keep coming back to life.
Yeah.
You can't
Green
kill
Bay
them.
Is not a bad guy or a villain, though.
Well, I was making... No, I know Big yeah. O, but I was okay. just sort of... Well,
okay.
not everyone.
I turned it off and went to sleep.
Okay, so here's what happens. It's 23-21. Just a few seconds to go, Green Bay's got the ball. Deep in their own territory. They run one of those hook and lateral plays to try to come up with a miracle. And it looks like the game's over. But Detroit gets called for a face mask. And so not only do they get the penalty yardage, but you can't end the game on a defensive penalty. So there'll be one more snap of the ball, one more play from the Green Bay 39-yard line. So the Packers, basically, it's the old Hail Mary. So we're going to give you how it sounded. First of all, this was our friend Wayne Larrivee on WTMJ up in Milwaukee with the call.
Aaron Rodgers alone of the shotgun. Three receivers left, two to the right. Davante Adams in motion to the right. Snap to Rodgers. Scrambles to his left under pressure, rolling right. Escapes. Right side looking. Rainbows high and deep into the end zone. And it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch is made, and the Packers have won.
He almost didn't sound all that surprised when Rodgers caught the ball from Rodgers. 27-23. That's how it sounded to listeners in Green Bay. Here's how it sounded to listeners in Detroit. Dan Miller on the call.
Rodgers out of the gun. He's back. They need 61 yards and a touchdown. Rodgers rolling to his left. Being chased, slips the tackle. Rodgers is stepping up and lofting it deep down the field into the end zone. It is up and it is... caught! Caught by the Packers! Richard Rodgers for a touchdown! Oh, no!
Oh, no. Shades of Ron Santo. Oh, no. Green Bay wins it 27-23. One of the most amazing finishes to a game that you'll see.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I know. I'm not suggesting... Big O, I know you love the Packers from way back when, but...
Yeah, I worked there 4 years.
But you just... It just seems like when you write them off, they somehow find a way, and he's unbelievable. I mean, just... You go back to 1 week earlier against the Bears, and you're thinking, okay, looks like Green Bay's kind of... Maybe this is the start of the end for them. They lost 4 out of 5, and... Now they get down 20-0 in Detroit on the road against a Detroit team that had won 3 in a row. But
yeah, when has Green Bay ever had a bad quarterback? Have they ever had a bad quarterback?
Oh, sure. Oh, they went through years.
Yeah, but I mean, when they have good quarterbacks, they have the best quarterbacks ever.
Well, yeah, that's a good way to put it. And even the ones who weren't their greatest weren't bad, like Don Majkowski and guys like that.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all right with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake-up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Sing along, Cochran, sing along.
Cochran Show, Cochran Show, Cochran Show, Cochran Show, Cochran Show, the Steve Cochran Show.
542. Andrea told you all day yesterday she wasn't sick. Obviously, that's the case. Nice job, Dave, filling in for Andrea, who's sick
today.
Thank
you, Steve. I feel bad for her.
Go Cats. Go Cats.
And Kevin, nice job doing the sports.
Thank you.
Ross, nice job doing whatever you were doing.
Thanks.
Okay. And Steve Alexander in for O later, but not yet, right?
I'm not here yet, no.
What time are you officially here?
Right after the 6 o'clock news.
Okay. So, you're still here at this point?
No, he's...
Steve, you're on now.
Oh, I'm on now?
You're on now.
Oh, you're actually on now?
Oh, okay. No, Orion is on his way to the airport to jump in Air Orion and head out to, I'm not sure where he's going. He's got a speaking engagement today.
Was there a reason he wanted to be on at 5?
Well, no. The reason why I didn't want to be on because I had a late
night.
Okay. So he consented to stay till 5:30.
I thought there was some sort of Wisconsin work ethic we weren't aware of.
No.
I'll do till 5:20, but then I've got a flight. crazy ending to the Thursday night football game. I would say maybe since the advent of Thursday night football, the craziest ending they've seen.
Well, they haven't had very good games. Generally.
A lot of bad games.
Yeah, but this was and it didn't start off well at all.
No. It was 20-0 midway through the third.
Yeah.
So insane. I bailed. I did not see the ending, so I loved hearing the respective calls. And as you said, the Ron Santo Detroit ending.
Yeah.
So hasn't Detroit been through enough?
You would think.
Isn't it tough enough in Detroit, though?
You would think.
Nick and I have movies and other things to discuss. How was your Nutty Professor?
It was good. Yeah. It was good. Yeah, we didn't have a huge crowd, but we had a very enthusiastic crowd.
Is this going to be like the Oscars now? You're going to mistreat comedies and go back to classics and horror films?
No.
Okay, so you'll still
the
do
next
comedies.
The next one we're doing is...
I don't want you to mistake the fact that it was a smaller crowd for this and then go to your people, because don't act like you don't have people. I know how many people.
Yeah.
You got a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, man.
And then go, we can't do comedies anymore. I want you to do a lot of comedies.
Oh, no, we're doing comedies.
Yeah, okay.
We do comedies mostly in the summer.
Okay.
Well, like, that makes sense. The next one we're doing is hilarious.
This is the January selection?
Yeah. Bob Fosse's All That Jazz.
Oh.
That movie's that hysterical.
Funny.
Oh, February, we're doing Groundhog Day.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's when actually Groundhog Day is.
March, Clockwork Orange, hysterical.
Also very
But
funny.
April, we are doing Bad News Bears.
For the beginning of baseball season.
Yeah. Nice.
So,
and then in May, we're doing what the National Board of Review justifiably chose this year as the finest film of 2015. Do you know what they chose a couple of days ago?
They chose
Mad Max Fury Road.
Did they really?
Yes, they did.
I'm sorry, you didn't like that movie.
No, I've only seen it 24 times.
Yeah, how many actually?
24 times.
You've seen it 24 times?
Yes, I have.
Why?
Because it's the best movie, one of the best movies I've ever seen. I saw it in the theater 13 times.
You paid for it 13 times?
No, not 13 times, but I did see it 13 times in the theater.
Don't you exploit your show business status and your critic status to not pay for things?
No.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know. I think now they just like when
you're not kidding. You've seen it 24 times.
I've seen Mad Max.
You'll see it again.
Oh yeah.
Like for instance, the first Horrible Bosses is very funny. Like when that's on cable,
I watch it every time it's on.
Yeah, but I won't watch the whole thing.
No, we'll see.
I'll dip in for 15 minutes and I'm out.
Right. Well, Mad Max Fury Road hasn't even reached cable yet.
That's the thing that's astounding to me.
We're talking Blu-ray and theater. That's the.
You know, I've been your friend for a long time.
I know you have, Steve.
And I think it's time for Steve and Dave and I and Kevin and Ross to tell you we love you, and that's why we've gathered you here today. And you thought this intervention was the only one.
I heard that about 6 months ago. By the way, December 11th, 6 months.
God bless, man. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. And you know, my brother asked about my brother also recovering now. He's got 13 years coming up. He asks about you every week.
Yeah. Tell him 6 months and December 11th.
I'll get you on the phone.
A week from today.
I get you on the phone with him because he will want to like scold you.
I know.
To make sure you stay.
The last time I saw him, he's like, "You all right? What's going on?" And I'm like, "I'm good. You sure? You okay? Need anything?" I'm like, "No, I'm."
The great thing,
and I really appreciate that, by the way. I really do.
Well, the great thing I've come to see and know from guys in the program or in The Cure, not the band, by the way, is...
Or the James Caan movie.
Is that there's no BS. It's like, really?
Yeah. No. There is just... I don't know.
Because of people who've walked the walk, they get it. So you can't snow them.
Yeah. There's no question about it. And he, like, can see right through me. Like, if I came in there and, you know... And said something or had like if he would sense it if I fell off the wagon like what? I could walk into the room and he would go you've been drinking and I'm like well I didn't even pee into a cup man what you got a breathalyzer there what are you doing
well the cool thing about you doing this publicly is there's people listening right now who
Absolutely.
Are struggling and there's people who listen and hear you overnight who are struggling
right.
And to hear somebody who's a prominent public figure, go through it and say, look, I can do it.
Mm.
And to have my brother, who has significant special needs, be able to do it. Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
But you have to want to save
yourself.
It's tough,
man. It's not, it's not easy.
I'm sure it's brutal.
And I've gained all my weight back. And remember how you were saying, yeah, you're too skinny.
You weren't too skinny.
Wow.
Not anymore?
No.
All right, stand by. I'll come back with Fatty and talk about the movies here in just a second. It's 5:48, and let's get traffic. Laura Vaughn, how are you?
Good morning.
Nice to have you on the show. What's happening? Five 53, Steve Cochran Show. Overnight developments from San Bernardino include the, and I think Big Paul was talking about this, the lawyer for the deceased shooter's family questioning whether or not it was them. Yeah, it was them. It was them. The family's entitled to denial and all of that, but yeah, it was them.
Wow. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it's kind of breaking this morning. We'll talk about whatever other details come up. And by the way, the continuing discussion about whether or not it was workplace violence or terrorism is kind of maddening to listen to over and over again. But a designation of terrorism changes the amount of resources that are allocated to investigate, and obviously the overall threat, as opposed to somebody that goes nuts at a workplace, which becomes more of a local issue. So the distinction does matter, and that's why it's continues to be talked about until they figure out which one it is. Nick's here. All right, yeah. So movies on the weekend.
The big one is Chirac, Spike Lee's latest, which has obviously had a lot of press here in the city as they were filming it over the summer.
Well, here's the thing I'm confused about, because I really don't have any interest in seeing this. And it's got a lot of things I like. It's got my fellow black entertainers in it, like
yes.
me. It's got a lot of attractive women in semi-states of nakedness, which are always interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's got some terrific actors. But yet I don't find myself going, yeah, I need to cut 3 hours of my life out to, you know,
get there and see it and come back. I was going to say it's only 2 hours and 7 minutes, but.
Is this something I need to do?
I haven't seen it. I will be seeing it later today.
All right. Well, call me immediately after.
I will immediately. Yeah. I'll call you during it, just to make everybody angry in the theater.
This
movie's not very good, man.
No other big movies?
Well, Krampus.
No other big movies?
Which is the movie that my parents and I are going to see on Saturday.
But your dad loves horror. He got you into it.
My mom was like, are we going to see that Krampus movie?
Oh, good, good, good. So, I love a family that sees horror films together.
Yeah. Well, we saw Victor Frankenstein last week, which was, you know, my mom was thrilled that she wasn't seeing Creed. And I'm being sarcastic.
I'll bet.
So Krampus is this movie about this demon that terrorizes this family on Christmas. So I'm all for it.
Have yourself.
Well, you know my favorite Christmas movie of all time, right?
Yeah, but tell everybody.
The Ref.
Yeah. And The Ref is a great movie.
It's a tremendous movie.
It really is a great movie.
Yeah. Die Hard is my second favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah. Both.
Die Hard,
the
first
spirit
two,
of the holiday.
And Die Hard 2 is fantastic. Gremlins, great Christmas movie.
And Fred Thompson, the recently deceased senator, steals a lot of scenes in
Die Hard 2. He's great.
Yeah, he's tremendous.
Yeah, he's great. So Chirac is the big one, and Krampus. Seriously, that's it this weekend. There's a couple of smaller films that are out. There's a movie called The Letters, which is about Mother Teresa, and sort of the biopic of Mother Teresa. But the one that's generating the most interest is Spike Lee's Chirac, which I'm not sure, you know, I'm actually curious about it. I'm looking forward to it. I run hot and cold on Spike's movies. Some of them I really love and some of them I can't stand. And this one seems curious to me. I mean, it's actually an adaptation of Lysistrata, the Greek play. That's what it is. A lot of people are like, oh, it's about Chicago. It's not really. I mean, it uses the backdrop of violence in Chicago.
But they took that narrative to figure out a way to fit it into the story here.
Yeah. Which is a great, you know, great, a Greek tragedy play from, you know, it's ancient. And so people have tried to adapt Lysistrata many, many times and have, with mixed results. So,
Kev, a Greek tragedy for you is when the flaming cheese doesn't come out of the kitchen. Right?
I was going to say when the Euro place
is
closed.
A real tragedy is when Taco Bell took the chili cheese burrito off the menu.
Mm.
See, that's not Greek.
No, but he's just telling you that's what
mattered to him. Oh, I see. Okay. We were trying to go with the Greek theme.
He said, with a real tragedy.
He said flaming cheese.
I said Greek tragedy. He said real tragedy. In other words, Greek tragedy, whatever.
Yeah.
Real tragedy.
Chili cheese burrito.
I wanted to mention, now Steve is here. I wanted to mention to Orion, who's not here right now, that I watched a film yesterday. I got a screener of a film yesterday that I watched that Steve, I think, will be interested in, and absolutely Orion will be, and anybody in the world of business will be interested. It's a movie called The Big Short.
Oh, I want to see that.
And I got a screener of it. I watched it yesterday.
And?
It's great.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It is really, really great. And
Here's the thing, though, that people need to remember, because I want to cut a minute out here because there's somebody here I want to talk about, because I don't want you to give up much of this movie.
Yeah.
There is a feeling, I'm told, at the end of the movie where you're going, I love these guys, and they're horrible, horrible people.
Absolutely.
Okay, I just want to be clear.
Yeah. It's a great film, and a shocker considering who it came from. And not that I don't think, I mean, it was adapted, co-adapted and directed by Adam McKay, who is Will Ferrell's writing partner, who is responsible for, like, Anchorman, Talladega Nights, and Step Brothers. So you're thinking, how is this movie about the crash of 2008? How is the guy who made those movies going to make this? Well, he
gets it done.
Big time.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Big time. It's a terrific movie.
That's
absolutely terrific.
And maybe by Monday, look into this, because I don't know that I'll remember to do it because, you know, I'm elderly. But Adam McKay's health, he seems to be on an upswing. He's been dealing with MS for years, mm-hmm. and he seems to be on an upswing. He seems like he's working harder than ever.
Yeah, he's doing such great work. And this, I mean, I think it's a better movie, seriously. It's a very Scorsese-like film.
Yeah.
In the way he shot it and the way it's told. I think it's better than Wolf of Wall Street. I think he made a better movie than Wolf of Wall Street. It's a different kind of movie, but I think it's better.
Steve Carell, turns out he can act a little bit, huh?
He's great. Ryan Gosling, Christian Bale, Brad Pitt is in this movie, Marissa Tomei.
Pretty interesting cast.
It's a really, really, really great film. And I'm curious to see if Orion gets a chance to see it when it comes out.
Throughout this show, and I'm going to try to remember to do this once an hour, I'm going to say the following. I'm Jerry Wells. So whenever I declare myself to be Jerry Wells, the seventh caller will win something from the prize list because Jerry would want the listeners to win and not her. Jerry Wells has been the longtime assistant and really, honestly, the brains behind Jimmy DeCastro. And he would be the first to admit that. The greatest nightmare Jerry would have is that I would talk about her positively on the radio because she never wants anything to be about her. But she is a tremendous woman and a tremendous part of this radio station in the 2.5 short years that we've been back together. And today's her last day. Mm. She's chosen to cut back and kick back a little bit. And good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her to do it. But we will miss her every day. And she's an amazing woman. And like I said, what's
Jimmy going to do now?
Well, we hope get out of here. Because honestly, without Jerry to keep him right, I can't imagine the damage he could do here. So I've asked Jerry to helicopter in like a SWAT team at least twice a week to make sure that whatever he's done has been fixed. But she's tremendous. So whenever I say, I'm Jerry Wells.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Show number 548 on December 18th, Ross Cochran's 25th birthday. We will be doing the live radio play that we do every Christmas season, which I believe, Kev, do you know the start time is at 11?
I believe it's right after 10 o'clock, I believe, 10 to noon. Let me double check, though, right now.
Okay.
I believe that's right.
10 to noon.
10 to noon.
Today?
On the 18th of December. So we'll give you more details on that, but everybody enjoys that every year, so it'll be good. We actually have a table read today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, Steve. Yeah. You're going to be there, right?
Yeah, I got a lot going on. No, I'll be there. Lou Manfredini later this hour. I'm going to be off all next week. Now, we are in baby go time. At any point, I could become a grandfather. And more importantly, more importantly, Ross and Lauren will become parents. It's very exciting, and it's very cool, and, you know, just... I can't say I'm waiting for the phone call because Ross is in the other room. But at some point, that'll be the waiting for the phone call moment kind of thing. So, point being, next week when I'm gone, the baby could show up. And then we got a whole security issue because I want to be able to have Ross announce it on the show. He's going to be off. And then if I'm not here, Noonan's doing a couple of days next week. You know, when I thought, how cool is it to be a grandfather? None of those thoughts were, it'd be great if Brian Noonan could announce it. we got to figure out how. I may do a drive-by during my vacation week.
What if you actually are out driving and listening to the show, and mm-hmm. you hear the news on the air that you're a grandfather?
Wouldn't make me happy.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Wouldn't make me happy, yeah. So anyway, we're getting closer and closer. I'll have Ross do an update on that a little bit later on. Hamp's on today, of course. And Kev, who's been killing it with newsmaker guests all week long. And Kev does, you know, it's long since the days when he was disappointing Kevin. He is Superior Kevin, but that's not a great nickname. We've had great newsmaker guests all week. Nice job by you, Kev.
Full team effort.
And Anita Alvarez will be on today. And she was yelling at the news media yesterday, or yelling in general. And it's not like I'm not used to having newsmakers yell at me. That went on this week as well. But I'm anticipating a decent conversation with her, giving her an opportunity to answer some of these questions. So that'll be after 7 o'clock. We'll get into the update on what's going on or what we think we know from overnight out of San Bernardino. A couple of texters, though, just one that jumps out here from the 312. Steve, after the sad off the other day where Sam Smith was proven to be more sad than Dell. Mm-hmm. Steve, FYI, I thought you'd appreciate this. I heard Sam Smith have yourself a merry little Christmas. Not merry at all. It is 6:16. It's traffic. Laura Vaughn's in for Mary.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
This is Fun City.
Let your heart be light.
Jolly Sam Smith.
From now on, your troubles will be out of sight.
He has literally sucked the joy out of the holiday season for all of us.
Children are crying.
It's unbelievable. All right, 6:20. Let's get to Lou.
Dini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
It's the time, of the show for Lou's First Call.
As always, Lou's First Call is sponsored by American Weathermakers. And American Weathermakers is set to give you an April Air event-based thermostat. Is this like the one you put in? Remember you put a thermostat in at your house?
I believe it's similar.
Yeah. Brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers. Take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Go to AmericanWeathermakers.com. Good morning, Mr. Manfredini.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing just fine. Is the holiday season progressing appropriately for you?
It is. We have our exterior lighting all set up on the house. We did the big green evergreen tree, which is this giant spruce that, as the planes land at O'Hare, they know which house is mine.
Nice. Now, do you put the lights up yourself, or do you have one of your minions do it?
Well, on that big tree, because it's so tall, I do have the minions come because mm-hmm. they have a little bucket truck. But mm-hmm. the rest of the lights I do.
And
when I used to smoke a cigar, it used to be one of my favorite things to do, is that I would go outside, I would wait till it's cold, because I want it to be cold.
Yeah.
And I'd put on my Carhartt workwear. You know, because it's a homage to the days when I used to swing a hammer full time, and then I would put a big stinky cigar in my mouth, and I would put up the lights, and it was a lot of fun. Now everything is the same, except I don't put a big stinky cigar in my mouth.
Well, look at you, Captain Healthy. And in the meantime, do you have any recommendations for people when they're putting up the lights? Is there any Mr. Fix-It aspect to that?
Yeah, I want everybody to turn and go to LED lighting. I made the switch about 4 years ago when things were a lot more expensive than they are now. They use minuscule amount of electricity, so it doesn't, you can hardly tell you have it plugged in. And the beauty of it is with the LED holiday lights, you can plug in about 40 strands in a row and not have to worry about blowing any fuses, where with the regular incandescent light bulbs, you can maybe do about 4 strands in a row before you'll start having a fuse fail and, you know, it's problematic. Now, they're more expensive. They still are. The incandescents are still the most affordable. But if you can make the connection to spend a little bit more money, you'll see that they're a lot more durable.
And do you have a regular lighting pattern you go to year after year, or do you mix it up?
We change it up a little bit year to year, but I'm a white light guy near the house, and I do a little colored lights by the bushes by the street, and then the big spruce is colored, and we also have a big pear tree, and that's white. So it's a little, you know, it's colorful.
Sounds very nice. I'll be by to look at it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll post a picture.
So in other words, you don't want me to come by?
No, you can come by.
Oh, I see. all right, let's jump to our first caller, because Dwayne's got an issue, and Pat and Ira hang on as well. Good morning, Dwayne. Say hi to Lou.
Hey, Lou. How you doing?
Great. Good morning.
Good morning. Actually, the problem is my sister. She's got a really bad mouse problem. We were there for Thanksgiving, and the night before, she put a bowl of foil chocolates out. In the morning, half of them were gone.
Oh, no.
While we were there visiting.
No.
Yeah, I sat on the couch, and I smushed the mouse.
What?
So we...
That's not a problem. That's an infestation. Get out of the house, man.
Well, they're coming in from the basement, they think, and they can't locate where they're coming from. But, you know, we tore the couch apart, and we found quite a bit of mouse droppings and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
And, you know, she doesn't want to do the traps or the exterminator way. Do you got a product that you could recommend?
That's not a pistol?
Well, or a couple of really strong cats. Okay, if she doesn't want to do traps and baits and whatnot, the only opportunity to help limit this is there's a couple products out there that there's an interesting phenomenon that rats and mice don't like the smell of spearmint, and I guess it's proven. There are two products. One is called Fresh Cab, and that's fresh like fresh meat, and Cab, C-A-B. And another one is a product called Bonide Mouse Magic. Both of these are spearmint packets. So what I would tell your sister to do is on the first floor, place these strategically in corners, because rats and mice run along corners of structures. Put those down, several of them around there. Now, at first, the smell to you will be a little overwhelming, but then it will calm down. But then down in that basement area, you've got to figure out where they're coming from. And you could put some of these packets down there as well, but you've got to find those holes, and you got to try and get them to go outside. Now, it'd be nice if she put some bait outside to draw them out. And if she has pets or is worried about kids, it's got an old milk crate or something, put the bait under there and then cover it with a milk crate, put a, you know, a brick or a cinder block on top of it.
Let me tell you something. Based on what Dwayne's describing, I would get a giant wheel of Wisconsin Gouda and I'd throw it in the backyard.
Something to draw them outside, but if she's, you know, wants to do it more naturally, Mouse Magic or Fresh Cab.
All right. Stand by, Dwayne. We got to get you information so we can get you the American Weathermakers prize. Stand by for that. All right. Pat's on the phone. Pat is having an issue with ventless gas fireplaces. And, yes, I was in a band called that. Pat, go ahead with Lou.
Yeah, Lou, about 8 years ago, I had a ventless gas fireplace put in. And about last year or so, I noticed maybe black soot coming in the corners and on the ceiling and on some of the fixtures. And I went online and you read everything from nothing to worry about to I'm surprised you're not dead.
There you go. The internet is a wonderful thing.
What's your feeling about them? Are they safe? They do really put out a lot of heat, and they're wonderful.
They need to be cleaned on an annual basis. First of all, make sure that on that in that room that you're using it, plugged in is a carbon monoxide detector for sure. And then that unit needs to get pulled apart, and the burner, the striker, the thermal coupler, if it has one, or pilot light, all needs to be cleaned with a brass wire brush and wipe down. That's probably coming. Usually, when you get the soot and it's natural gas, I assume you're just not burning everything 100%. And every gas appliance, even one that runs efficiently, does let off a little bit of carbon monoxide. It's just the way it is. Your stove does that, but the amounts are so minor. But when you start to see that sooting, it's because it's not burning cleanly. So clean it all up. Make sure that everything is sparkling clean. And then, for sure, have a carbon monoxide detector plugged into that room.
All right, a couple of texters that are out there. First off, Margaret checked in from Bridgeport. We love Margaret. Dear Stephen Lou, the bear was swinging from the fan trying to show Smokey, Yogi, and Boo Boo his recreation of Flashdance.
Hmm.
Now I don't know which way the fan should turn during the winter. Which way should it spin in the winter, Lou?
When you're standing underneath it and it's spinning, because not all fans spin the same way, it should not be blowing in your face.
Okay.
It should be turning the other way.
And then how do you reverse it?
Well, there should, there's
you have to move your house to Australia?
Right. You flip your house. There's either a chain or there's probably a little slide button on the crown of the fan itself, either where it connects to the ceiling or where a light fixture or behind a light fixture might be hanging off of the unit.
From the 708, I can't see the LED lights when they're covered by snow. What do you make of that?
Well, so the LED lights don't give off as much heat as the regular incandescent lights. And if the snow is heavy, it will cover up the lights, that's for sure. But the flip side to that is that a lot of bushes, in particular, depending on what you put your lights on, if you have heavy packs of snow, you run the risk of that killing the vegetation as well. So it's not a bad idea to keep a broom handy. And when you get really heavy snow, just kind of brush it off a little bit.
From the bear, what kind of salt can I put on Goldilocks driveway that won't damage my cement? Love the bear.
Love the bear. Look for calcium chloride, potassium chloride. They are really super effective, but not as harsh as rock salt. And then there's another product that's a liquid calcium chloride that I really like that you put down before storms with a pump sprayer called liquid snow shovel. And so if you anticipate, you know, when you're listening to WGN saying, hey, it's going to snow in a couple days, you go out there, you spray the pavement down, it's really effective, and it's really beneficial if you have pets because you don't get any of the aggregate in between their pads on their paws.
How big a sprayer do we need?
Like a one-gallon pump sprayer.
Okay. Good to know. And
I like that, by the way. That was very good. That was very good.
The question I asked?
How big of the final question? You know, how big of a pump sprayer do you need, Lou?
Yeah, well, it's, I do occasionally listen.
Thank you.
And then I thought this is good, and this goes to you as a talk show host as well. But this listener asked a very good question. It says, "Good morning. I was off yesterday. I couldn't listen to the show, and now the rest of my week has been affected. Next time, would you mind doing me a favor and give me a call and letting me know how good or bad the show is, so my week stays normal?"
Very good. Right.
Personalized critique. Hello, listener. Yeah, I thought we nailed it today. Talk to you later.
Really sorry about today. It wasn't my best, but I'll try harder tomorrow.
Now, I assume you'll be with me on the 18th. I'm off next week.
I am. Yes, I will be with you. You're off all next week?
I'm off all next week, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, very nice. We'll have a lovely time. You want to tell people where you're going?
Yes. The double wide in East St. Louis needs some of that spearmint mouse treatment. Well,
why do I think that there's some golf in your future?
It actually isn't. Standing by, we're on baby watch.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so
waiting
for Lauren to get after it. Let's go, Lauren. Oh, wait, we're still early. All right, buddy, we'll see you on TV in a minute.
You got it, buddy.
That's Lou Manfredini, be on the radio tomorrow at 7 a.m. as well. We need a break? Quick break back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
You're listening to Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
642, State's Attorney Anita Alvarez at 710. Hawks tickets at 720. Hamp at 740. Ross Cochran's here. Ross, how are you?
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Are you and Lauren, my daughter-in-law Lauren, and Ross is my son, and they're about to have their first baby, and that would be my first grandchild. Are you and Lauren getting enough rest, enough sleep?
Oh, yes, I think so. No, not a chance.
Not enough at all?
No, I mean, she works 12-hour shifts as being 8 and a half.
She works on a loading dock, by the way. She's a longshoreman.
Yes.
Doesn't seem like a great thing to do at this stage of the pregnancy.
I mean, you know, but work is work. Yeah.
She's a nurse. Yes.
And she's a nurse.
And a great nurse.
Yes. And I work here. So sleep happens often, but probably not as consistently as it should.
And not the healthy way doctors recommend where you get 6 to 8 or really 8.
Right. Yeah, it's more just whenever we're horizontal.
Mm-hmm. And what do we have preparation-wise? Do we have a go bag ready to go at the door?
Already in the car.
What's in the car?
Yeah.
Okay, what's in the go bag? Is it just a change of clothes and stuff?
Clothes for me, clothes for her, clothes for the baby, stuff to help with, you know, any sort of labor stuff in the hospital.
You want to leave that in the car?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get cold?
No, it'll be fine.
You sure? Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just asking.
Do you have treats in there?
Yes, we have various food things that Lauren could eat. And
cigars?
No, that's not really my style. But we got a car seat. Yeah, I got that already set up, which was a very stressful parking lot evening.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. But no, I mean...
Did she play the role of the wife, or she told you you're doing it wrong?
No, I played the role of the wife and just didn't really know what to do.
Yeah.
Oops.
Well, no, that came out wrong. I know what you meant, but what you said was the wife wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, yes. That's not what you meant.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even speaking for you as your attorney.
No, good thing Lauren's asleep right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on from that.
Yeah.
But no, everything is packed. Everything is ready. Like, we've been working on our, you know, baby to-do list, and that's down to just a few last things.
I don't think you should have a to-do list for the baby. I mean, let the baby kick back and sleep for a while. I mean, why does the baby have to be organized?
All it's been doing is growing for 9 months. It's time to get its work done.
So the baby's going to pop out, and then you're going to go, here, kid, get some stuff done?
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of crack is that?
Little tiny post-it notes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have the change of address labels for the baby from Lauren's belly to your apartment?
Yes.
Okay. What did the doctor say last time you ran?
Everything looks good. Lauren recently, I think I said this last time, looked at me and went, I don't think I'm going to make it to December 20th.
Yeah. That's the due date.
That's the due date. And so I think, you know, it's either going to be a big baby or early or both.
What are we projecting size-wise? I mean, I don't know. I forgot how big you were when you were born. Was it 35, 40 pounds?
Yeah. Yeah, I was about 40, 45. Yeah. But that was – never mind. So,
I know your mother's still bitter about it. That's
she
all.
Is, yes, yeah. Yes. But no, I mean, it's kind of too early to tell. You know, in 30 –
Too early to tell? When are you going to tell? When you weigh the kid in?
No, like in like 2 or 3 weeks from now when the baby is still not here.
Oh.
Then they can start saying, oh, it's going to be this big.
Do they have like – I forgot, Dave. Do they have like a deli scale where they weigh the baby? Don't they have like a little baby bucket that they put the baby into?
Yeah, and sometimes the nurse will actually keep an extra hand on there and try to increase the weight of the baby.
Yeah, because she's a girl.
Right.
She's going to want people not to know. That's what girls do. Now, when the baby is being weighed, can we have the Rocky theme play at the hospital?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like a Lauren's bell goes off?
Yeah, Lauren's going to be, you know, she'll just gone through labor. She'll not really know what's going on. So, yeah, we should have some fun in that moment.
See,
I mean, you won't be there, but in general, we should have some fun.
Ross actually did this funny thing the other day where he told me it was a completely different hospital.
Nice. How do you feel, Ross?
I'm good. I'm excited.
I mean, physically, how do you feel?
Oh, I'm carrying high, so it's easier on my back.
How do you feel about being here today?
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. But yeah, it's always talk about the mom and rarely talk about the dad. And Dave, you've been through it. Steve's been through it. I've been through it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work for us.
It's a ton of work. You know what I did in the, and I probably shouldn't have done this. I don't know if I've told you this story, but I just got back from Bears training camp when my wife was delivering our first, and I had a sore throat. So I asked the doctor just because I didn't want to expose the baby
right.
to any sort of strep. What if I had strep?
This is when your wife's in labor?
While she's in.
The pain of that sore throat was so bad.
You asked the doctor.
And you guys are a bunch of babies.
She's looking at the end of the bed. There is the doctor. We're standing there. The doctor is examining my throat.
Oof. With his headlight on, you know. Like
That did not go over well.
And that was an OBGYN situation that was examining your throat. Mm-hmm. Normally, they don't work that end.
That may explain a few things.
Yeah. Now, here's what I did. Maureen had an epidural. This is actually with Amy. But in the midst of the epidural, I was busy in an intense conversation with the doctor about football. And at one point she said, excuse me. And then eventually, like after the 15th, excuse me, somebody hurt her. And it turns out one of her legs had fallen off the bed, but because she had the epidural, she needed help moving it.
Yeah.
She goes, hey, if it's not too much trouble, can someone get my leg? Don't do any of these things you're hearing.
Yeah. No. I mean, this will
Steve,
be
a- did you do anything insensitive?
Yeah. We had a long labor on the first one, and there was a spare bed in the room, and I fell asleep.
Oh, dude, that might be worse.
You're fired.
Wow.
Yeah, actually, it's the one time where I don't want, you know, a funny story to be a part of my day.
Oh, no, you do. Yeah, but try to behave better than you've heard here.
Yeah.
Now, is the baby still in the launch position?
Yes. At this point, it would be pretty difficult for her to turn. Now, launch position, as you understand it, is very different than actual launch position, in case there's any doctors listening right now.
Okay. Because launch position to me, I picture, like, because I want the best for my granddaughter.
Sure.
So I want the Apollo rocket guys standing by. And I want a countdown, and I want to make sure that, you know, we have a checklist.
The Apollo mission from the 60s?
Yes. Yeah, I want
you want some
checklist.
Guy that hasn't worked at NASA in 40 years?
Well, that's a good point. Maybe the more recent NASA guys. But I want the checklist to go through, ready to go, and they go through all the various departments, whatever those happen to be. I don't even know how any of this works. But that's the way I want this to work, because I want her to have the best.
We're working on it.
Okay. So.
We'll be at Northwestern.
Yeah. Oh, that's where it's going to be. Oh, I got to write that down. You're going to Northwestern. That is fantastic. Because you had me going to a hospital in Kankakee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a staging area.
Do you mean Northwestern Hospital?
Yes.
No, we'll be at Ryan Field.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
The crowd is getting restless here at Ryan Field.
Well, you know, I'm very excited about this. And as you know, the granddaughter will like me best. But before she shows up, this is an exciting time.
Yeah. I mean, that makes 2 8/9 of us. We're all very excited to get this thing started.
Yeah. Okay. Get some sleep.
I will.
I mean, now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All no, right, feel cool. free. You're the only one that can sleep during the show.
I appreciate that.
Dave Cochran Show continues, show number 548, on Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, texts and phone calls at 312-981-7200, and our WGN Radio Business Innovation Analyst, Elise Glink, joins us. We like to take these Friday few minutes that we have together and learn stuff. And that's what you do.
It's more fun than that.
No, you teach us stuff, but it's not like eating vegetables. You know what I mean? It's like
broccoli for all.
It's important stuff that we need to know. Let's talk about shopping.
All right.
Let's talk about online shopping. Stories about people dropping dead waiting to get into stores. It seemed like this Cyber Friday, this Black Friday, I should say, was not as violent as they've been in the past. Is that because of the big shift to Cyber Monday and cyber shopping in general?
God, I don't know what it is. Maybe we're all just so freaked out by what's going on all over the country with mass shootings that the idea that somebody might be pushing, you know, against us to get that hot pot, not so enticing.
Scary. It's absolutely scary.
It's interesting. So we did see, for the first time ever, about $1 billion less spent on Black Friday than we have before. And, you know, these days with so many billionaires giving away their billions, hello, Zuckerberg, a billion doesn't seem like much. But let me assure you that $1 billion worth of $29 hot pots is a lot of money. And the fact that that went down so significantly on Black Friday, and then on the other side, on Monday, we just saw a Zoom biggest numbers ever by far, is, I think, really the important demarcation point here for when we've all now started to realize that it's nice to buy online and have it delivered.
But now, here's the thing where you run into the catch-22, and by the way, I don't know what the phrase means. I just know that it's a catch-22. But Amazon did some sort of voluntary commitment to taxing their products, right? But not everything on the Internet is taxed around the country.
Right. So just for a baseline, when you buy something and there is a point of purchase, a bricks and mortar store in the place where you live, you generally get taxed for that. And Amazon, which had said, well, we don't have any bricks and mortar stores anywhere, although now they have a bookstore somewhere out west, they said we don't have to collect any tax. And that's caused a huge amount of concern for local governments that are missing out on that sales tax revenue that they use to pay things like, teacher salaries or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they've started to do that and collect, but not all stores do, and not all stores are required to. And so for about a decade, there's been this conversation going on about whether everything should be taxed online, just as it is in bricks and mortars, just to level the playing field.
There's a logical extension to that, that you save jobs, retail jobs. You keep the stores open. You do the tax-based thing we just discussed. Does that play out, or is that just wishful thinking? Because the system you've described that's in play is pretty loose.
I think there's always winners and losers, right? It's not a zero-sum game, but you've got every time you have a package delivered, that's UPS or FedEx or sometimes even the post office that wins. A local on the ground person may lose, but jobs are jobs, right? They're just not your job. Mm-hmm. So it becomes very personal. But in terms of whether or not we buy something online or we buy something, in our houses, I think we're never going back. So Congress and other legislators who are thinking about this and looking at the tax revenue base have to understand that there's been a profound shift. And we're never going back to the way it was. So how do you make it work for today and going forward?
Well, that's the big problem, and it's always scary when we depend on Congress to help us. That's the really scary.
Yes, I know. I hate that for a Friday morning.
It's very scary.
All about Washington.
Tell me about credit cards before I let you fly here. Talking to Elise Glink, the WGN Radio Business Innovation Analyst. And, of course, you can follow Elise and everything Elise does where?
ThinkGlink.com or EliseGlink.com if you really just want to break your brain trying to spell my name.
I'll go with I-L-Y-C-E.
Mm. Well, so credit cards are sort of interesting.
And it's
online,
actually good news.
You
have good news for credit cards, right?
I do. So here's what we learned in the last go-around over the last month is that, years ago we had the Credit Card Act passed, and it has saved consumers $12 billion, there's that B word again, in needless fees. So things that you were kind of getting sucker punched into, maybe you paid a little too much for the credit card fee going in, maybe you paid late, so you paid an extra high fee, maybe you had that double billing thing going on for a while where they looked back 2 months and then charged you interest on both of those, even though month one you paid on time. All that has gone away, and so consumers have saved $12 billion. And the credit card industry said, this is going to kill us. Nobody's going to get a credit card. And in fact, the number of credit card accounts are rising, which is nice. But best of all, balances being carried are down. And so that's also good. People are spending more wisely.
So in general, moderation is key. But if we all act like, who am I kidding? We're never, it's Christmas. What am I talking about? What am I talking about, please?
Yeah, it's time to go wild.
So I'll talk to you later. Happy Friday.
Hey, you too.
That's Elise Glink. ThinkGlink.com. News next, and Anita Alvarez will join us.
Back to more Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Seven 11 in the morning. We continue, and again, trying to get everybody on related to the travesty of Laquan McDonald. I think it's important to talk to the state's attorney. You may have heard her earlier this week with Ro Khan. Anita Alvarez joins us. Thanks for doing this. Good morning.
Oh, absolutely. Good morning.
All right. Let's talk about one thing that's really important that came out of yesterday. You said you support the Justice Department coming in to do their investigation. Is that accurate?
I do. I think we can all take a look, into the police department, look at everything, see if their policies or procedures need to be changed. I think that's important. I think we can get some good, good information out of that. I'm supportive of it.
So here's the thing and frankly, I'm not all that interested in what politicians' agendas are, even though we've talked to many of them this week. But here's the thing the public doesn't understand. I'm not a lawyer. How long does the process of presenting a murder indictment typically take? Because I think that's what we're all caught up in.
Right. I understand. I understand the questions that the general public might have because, maybe to the naked eye, this seems like an extremely long time. But what I want the public to understand and realize that It's not a long time. When we are looking at these cases, police involved shooting, in this particular case, looking at this with the eye towards, is this a first degree murder and can we actually charge it? You know, we have to be methodical. We have to be tenacious. We have to make sure that we do everything possible to develop, you know, the best case possible. And these things do take time. You know, there was a story in the Washington Post a couple months ago about police-involved shootings, and they looked at thousands of shootings from 2005 to 2015. And what they found was that out of thousands of cases, number one, only 54 police officers have been charged with a crime. Out of those 54 police officers, 21 of them have already been found not guilty, and only 11 have been convicted. It also noted that the average length of time for the investigation was 258 days, and some of those investigations went on much longer. They went on for years. So with that being said, I think that shows us that, you know, when you're looking at these cases, the complexity of them, and the reason that they are complex is because, a police-involved shooting is not the same as one civilian shooting another. It isn't. An officer has a right, you know, to use force. They are trained on the use of force model. So when you as a prosecutor are looking at these things, you have to understand that. You have to understand what that use of force model is. You have to know what the training is that these officers get. You have to know the case law. There's other issues that come into play, and I know this sounds all legalese, but, there's a controlling case by the name of Garrity that
right.
controls what we as prosecutors can and cannot, gather from officers' statements. So all of that, you know, comes into play. And in this particular case, when I met with the U.S. attorney last December, and really I know what's been reported, the incident, the shooting happened in October, in October 20th.
Right.
We enlisted the FBI and the U.S. attorney. I met with them on December 8th of last year. So that's when we decided that this case we were going to do together, a joint investigation. So the U.S. attorney was going to be looking at all the evidence in light of federal charges, if any. And then I, of course, would be looking at all the evidence in light of state charges, if any. So the FBI was our investigative partner. So,
and did you see the video? I'm sorry, did you see the video at that point? Or was that when do you actually see that?
I saw the video. It was given to us in November of last year, and that's when I saw it. I viewed it prior to meeting with the U.S. attorney and the FBI.
Well, I think this is an important point, too, though, because when you see, we live in a 60-minute, give me an ending to this world, as you know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So when I see the video, when people see the video, they go, well, the guy murdered the kid in the street. How do you take a step back from that? And say, because you're a human being. You have the reactions that you have, like we all do. How do you take
Absolutely.
A step back from that and say, okay, I know what I just saw, but now I've got to do what I have to do?
Well, right. You bring up a very good point. You do have to take a step back. When I first saw that video, my reaction was the same that I think everybody else's reaction was. Dear God. You know, this is shocking and it's explosive and when you look at that, and as a mother, this is a young man, 17 years old. I have a 16-year-old. So, you know, all those emotions come into play, but you do have to take a step back and you have to say, okay, this is compelling and it's going to be a very key piece of evidence here. However, you know, the video isn't the entire case. You know, we have to make sure that what we put together and what we build is sufficient to sustain our burden. We have a high burden and, you know, we want to make sure that justice will be served because, you know, justice isn't achieved at the point of arrest. You know, justice is achieved at the end of that proceeding, at the end of that trial, when the defendant is held accountable for his actions. So we want to get to that place and it's difficult. In these police officer cases to garner conviction. And so the main thing you want to do is build the best case possible. So, yes, you know, my reaction was the same as many as everyone else. But I also know it's my job to get it right, you know, and I'd rather, you know, take the time to get it right rather than rush to judgment and get it wrong, because that would be the worst thing to do.
Sure. Talking to State's Attorney Anita Alvarez. So we talked about the length of this. By the way, in your career, because you've done this for a while, have you ever had a case take this long?
Yes, we have. And in fact, there were several other cases that I charged. In fact, the Commander Evans case, which is pending now, that took over a year to charge. We've had many cases that have taken long.
All right, let me take you back to last April now. The settlement that the city handles comes up. Does your office have any role to play in that?
No, not at all. That's all city council, because the city was sued. So that doesn't involve me at all.
So, again, human reactions being what they are, when that settlement comes up, did that strike you as odd at all? It did. I mean, you know, obviously it strikes us as odd in hindsight.
Well, it was settled so quickly.
Yeah, well, before the investigation was complete. You know what I'm saying? Because of the length of the investigation and the settlement comes down. And I think that's another big stumbling block for the public here.
It is. And that is something certainly not in my control at all. You know, it's the city that controls that. But it was quick, and I think people do have a right to question, why it was so quick. But, again, that was a proceeding that I had nothing to do with.
And, again, the questions that linger out there, and I know how upset you got about this yesterday, but I got to be honest with you, I was glad to see you upset, not because I want you to be upset, but instead of getting a bunch of bobbleheads who go, you're just going to have to believe me because I'm who I am, I like the fact that you are questioning – that you were upset about your integrity being impugned, and you defended yourself. So having said that, the mayor can't tell you what to do, but does the mayor at any point pick up the phone and call you and request a slowdown in this?
No, absolutely not. I did not talk to the mayor about this case at all. He did not call me in and try to impede in this investigation. He didn't, and I wouldn't talk to him or anyone else, about this investigation. You know, I had, great partners in the U.S. attorney and the FBI who did some tremendous work on this case. And we did the investigation that we felt needed to be done. And as we speak here now, the U.S. attorney is still proceeding on his investigation. Right. He has not concluded it.
So as you look at this now, and obviously there's going to be a ways to go here before any of this is resolved. We got sort of four separate looks at the police department going on as well. In hindsight, from this point backwards, if you've even had the time to take the time to do this, is there anything you wish you had done differently?
When you do partner with the FBI, things do take a while. I think we have to kind of, go on their timeline. It would have been nice to be able to wrap it up a little bit sooner. But again, I think our whole goal is getting it right and making sure we're doing the right thing. And that does take time. It really does.
Yeah. The politicians that we started out discussing, at least briefly, guys like John Fritchie, who, by the way, I like, the board president, Tony Preckwinkle, was on earlier this week. And we had, as people have described it, a spirited discussion. Certainly, Chuy Garcia has an agenda. But all these folks coming out as forcefully as they have, you know, when Gary McCarthy was fired by the mayor, and regardless of how it came down, it was a firing. If Gary McCarthy goes away as he did, frankly, nothing has changed, except I think the city's a little weaker because now we got to find whoever the next person is, and they've got to go through that whole process. What do these folks think will be accomplished by you stepping aside? Do you have any sense of that?
You know, I don't know what they think it will accomplish. As I said yesterday, this is a lot of political grandstanding. And I think it's a shame that this tragedy and this tragic death of this young man is being politicized, because that's exactly what this is. You know, the people who are calling for my resignation are politicians. And they're connected with, one of my opponents. And it's pretty clear what's going on here. And I think it's shameful that they're going to use this tragedy to turn it into this political circus. You know, I stand by my integrity and the way I run this office. I'm in an election right now, so the voters will be able to speak come March. And, it's disheartening to see that they're using this in the way that they are.
And again, people go to work, they try to live their lives, they're busy with their own things. It's hard for all of us to understand the intermingling of what the city does in a case like this. But I appreciate some of the education here in regards to the separation of your office from the mayor's office and how all of these things are not necessarily as interconnected as they have appeared to be or that we in the media have made them out to be. So I hope we can talk again because I don't know. I don't know if you want to go out on this limb, but here's the limb I'm on. I have great questions of the mayor, and the mayor's been on the show before, and he's invited back now, and I hope he can have this kind of discussion on the show as well. But I think this city needs to really, really hope that Rahm Emanuel is telling us the truth and that the mayor is doing everything he can, not for his career, but to make sure this city's right. Because what we don't need is for the mayor to have to step down and for more dismissals of folks based on, as you said, political agendas and things. We need to get together and get this thing right and get it fixed because we got big, big problems, including justice for Laquan McDonald.
Absolutely. We need to, you know, the city needs to heal. You know, this is a great city. I'm a native Chicagoan. I love this city. And there's great people in it. And so, you know, all of this, you know, so much of this is a distraction, and that's a disservice, obviously, to all the citizens here.
Well, good luck. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks.
That's Anita Alvarez, the state's attorney. So we will take a break for traffic here. Laura Vaughn's here and come back. We'll catch up with Hamp in a few minutes. Spend a couple minutes on that phone call before the news next on 720 WGN. It's 7:29 in the morning, and this is 720 WGN. The notion that by getting rid of McCarthy and Alvarez and Rahm Emanuel, everything is somehow going to get better is frankly nonsense. There needs to be a process for everything. McCarthy didn't get his because the mayor threw him under the bus. The mayor needs to answer questions. Anita Alvarez, I think, has answered more questions in the last 24 hours than the mayor has completely. You have the opportunity to vote her out of office in March. But in the meantime, I thought she answered my questions and went on the record in answering my questions, including a crucial one, is that the mayor call you and ask you to slow it down. And she said she had no contact with the mayor. So you either choose to believe her or believe that she's lying. And all of that will continue to be vetted as time goes on. But this notion that get them all, throw them out. I don't think that's what this city needs now. The city needs to figure out what its problems are as opposed to just what's sitting right here in front of us. And it's not as easy as throw the bums out. So because you'll have an opportunity to throw her out in March if you choose to do that. It's 7:31, and it may come that she steps down. It may come that the mayor steps down. But again, I ask you the same question I asked when Gary McCarthy was fired. Okay, now what? At 7:31, what are we doing? Kev, are we going straight to the our big story here? Is that your answer, Kev? Is that your answer for everything?
That's my answer here, Steve. And I have the sponsor. It's
Wait, before you do that, Kev.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Didn't I say yesterday that I would give away Hawks tickets?
You did. You did. That's why I stumbled a little bit.
You're right. But at least I caught my my lapse.
Good job, Steve.
Well done.
Thanks. I'm going to give you an opportunity to win Hawks tickets right now. And who are these Hawks tickets from?
Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Plumbing.
These are the people that sponsor the Hawks replay, too, don't they?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can I get the Hawks replay first? This shouldn't take long.
Sure.
Down to center ice we go. The Senators win it 4-3.
That's the full recap of last night's game.
There was more to the game than that.
No, there really was. And Patrick Kane, he scored that goal, and that's great and all that. But we don't want to relive the losses. We want to swim in the wins.
All right.
So here's the situation. I have again asked my Cracker Jack staff to stuff a puck in somebody's pants. And it's happened again this morning. Here is your first clue. And the first person to correctly guess who's got a puck in their pants will win a pair of tickets. To what game, Kev?
This will be for Sunday's game.
Oh, against Winnipeg.
Yeah. 4 o'clock game at the UC.
And you qualify for season tickets for next season.
Four season tickets for next year if you win today.
Fabulous.
Qualify for that.
And that's Four Seasons?
Heating, air conditioning, and plumbing.
Okay, here's clue number one. This person is a famous Chicagoan from a famous Chicago family. Oh, hey, whoa.
That narrows it down. Wow.
All right, first correct caller. More clues to come, obviously.
an animal.
Dan Hampton. Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Brought to you by your Chevy dealers, ChevyDrivesChicago.com. I mentioned the clues for, by the way, the guesses so far are really funny. Mayor Daley is coming up a lot. Dan Ponce, Dr. Most. who else, Kev? Somebody else keeps coming up.
A lot of Cusack, the Pritzkers.
Oh, yeah, John Cusack, the Pritzkers, which I find amusing. But I get the family tie. And the family tie again, Mayor Daley.
Right. Yeah. Right. Makes sense. That would have been the first name that came to mind for me.
A lot of people weren't sure why Mayor Daley resigned when he did. Could have been a puck in his pants.
Could have been.
Turns out that's not the case. The second clue, I said a famous lifelong Chicagoan. His father was famous before him. But that doesn't mean you should call and continue to guess Mayor Daley, because we already said that's not the case. Okay?
Tom Skilling with a puck in my pants.
No, it's not. No, it's not Tom either. Dan Hampton is standing by. And good morning, Hemp. How are you?
Good. No puck in my pocket, I'll tell you that. But looks like the Packers had a four-leaf clover in theirs. They got away with the win last night. So, hey, the week's off, and we've got the 49ers coming to town.
Yeah, you know, Dave Ennett described it really well early this morning when he sort of equated the Packers and Aaron Rodgers when he's on to Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. You think she's dead in the bathtub, then she sits up with a knife.
Hey, Mr. Cat, that's really pretty apropos, because this Packer team, they started off 6-0, and then the last six games, it's a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. I couldn't believe I was at Little Dan's basketball game. Came out, it was 17-0 at the end of the first half. I was shocked, but you know, somehow they were able to scratch out of it. So they're, like you said, they're still in it.
So last night the Packers win late. This weekend the Bears, and frankly the rest of the schedule is pretty good for the Bears. The Bears are set up against the San Francisco 49ers team, which isn't even recognizable compared to the team that Harbaugh left last season, and certainly the season before that. They got quarterback troubles. They got issues. I mean, this is a must win for the Bears for obvious reasons, but this ought to be a win.
It really should. You know, come on, let's be realistic. When Jim Harbaugh left, it's like they shut the place down, closed the drapes, and Jim Tom Sula was the shocking selection as the next head coach. He was the defensive line coach. And that being said, we now see who they passed over, our very own Vic Fangio, who's done such a marvelous job with our defense this year. So out of the gate, the 49ers were just a dumpster fire, and they haven't done a whole lot to prove anybody, you know, wrong. I will tell you this: a year ago, Kaepernick and Gore were the featured players in that offense, and now Kaepernick's on injured reserve. Gore's in Indianapolis, and it's a bunch of guys nobody really knows or even expects a lot from. Somebody named Sean Drawn will be the running back. He's not, you know, setting the world on fire. And Blaine Gabbert, a guy that was run out of Jacksonville, is their quarterback. Now, he's thrown for 300 yards the last couple of weeks, but still, this offense is dead last in the NFL. So, you know, hey, you got to take care of business. And, you know, apparently the Packers didn't think they had to last night, and all of a sudden the Lions jump up. So, you know, it is what it is. These kind of games are exactly what you let them become. If you don't take care of preparation and business, you'll find yourself in a dogfight.
But, you know, Hamp, the Packers going to Detroit, and the Lions suddenly have won three in a row, and they beat the Packers at Lambeau, and people are thinking, all right, Detroit has a chance to kind of finish off Green Bay here, and not that they would have necessarily been out of the playoff picture, but it would have been a really rough loss for them. The Bears now are kind of in a similar spot. They're expected to win on Sunday. They're favored in this game. They haven't been in the role of favorites. And now they're favored by like a touchdown against San Francisco. So how does that affect their mindset going into this game after being underdogs for so long?
I don't know. It'll be real interesting to see. you know, me, I grew up on gravel. I expected the worst and you know, tried to make the best of it. This team, they've had to fight through adversity. As you said, I don't think I've ever remembered a time in my 30 years or so of being around this Chicago Bear program where they have been an underdog the first 11 games. We got to do a Google check and see if that's ever happened.
Good
but
point.
This is indeed the first one they're going to be a favorite in, and how will they, stand optimism and
prosperity,
patience. I don't know, but I do know this. All the while, you know, this Green Bay victory has been such a kind of a feel good story and all that. There's a couple of things going on with the team. Martellus Bennett is, you know, showing his backside a little bit, acting pretty selfish and pouting and causing a little bit of a rift. But it'll be interesting to see how this team is able to kind of respond and get back together. Remember, that game Thursday night on Thanksgiving seems like a month ago. It a lot of things can happen in that 10 days of lag time before you get back to the field. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch this one.
Now, what Camp is describing along with what you talked about, Dave, and we'll pick this up right after traffic, is what we call in golf a PBF. A PBF is when you make birdie, and then the birdie would be the win over the Packers.
Yep.
And then you come back, and the next hole is a pretty straightforward par four, and you're playing well. You just made birdie, and you make six.
Yeah.
And you hit it out of bounds.
Yeah. You can't make six. No PBF on Sunday.
No, it's been huge. Some games we played well. Some games we haven't played as well as we wanted to. But consistently our defense has gave us a chance at the end of games to either win or for us to have a last drive and try to win the game. So it's been huge for us.
.755, the legend, the Hall of Famer, the Little Hamster. Dan Hampton's on. Hey, Hamp, what time are you guys on Sunday?
What time are you on today?
Today.
Today. We're not. There's not a game on today. It'll be on Sunday.
No, I said Sunday. Did I say today?
Oh, on Sunday.
No, you said Sunday.
Oh. Yeah, I thought I said
dinner
Sunday.
Time, you know, it's noon kick. We go at 3 till 6, no. And you know, we'll probably have the CSI team in there looking for the bones of the turkeys that Kaz went through last Thursday night. But other than that, I think we should have a clean slate. We're ready to go. You know, let me just say this about Jay Cutler there that we heard in the bump coming in. You know, a lot of people go, oh, it's amazing, blah, blah, blah. You know, part of the reason Jay has been so much more of a, I don't want to say, you know, caretaker, but he has avoided those critical mistakes. It's kind of a hand in glove thing. And a part of it is the fact that the defense over the last 5 weeks, other than that one play to Demaryius Thomas who ran for 80-yard touchdown, other than that, they've allowed one touchdown per game per, you know, outing. So I'm just saying, hey, Jay doesn't have to score 30. He doesn't have to feel like he's got to make every throw. He's got to, you know, score all these points because they're down 3 touchdowns. It's really a good kind of a place they're in where they're just doing a lot of smart stuff and they've won some games. So, you know, winning 3 out of the last 4 anywhere, anytime it's a pretty good ratio.
Matt Forte is no longer appearing on the injury report. So you've got two healthy backs. Kadeem Carey, I guess, is back also, but you've got two healthy backs.
And a poor 49ers run defense.
Yeah, exactly. And great point. And you got Forte and Jeremy Langford both. How do you divvy up the carries where you got enough to keep? I mean, Forte's the veteran and the Pro Bowl guy, and I realize he takes priority over Jeremy Langford, but Langford has kind of kept this team afloat while Forte was hurt. So how do you make them both happy?
Well, you don't worry about making them happy. You see who's the most effective. And, yeah, the 49ers have looked porous against the run. But, you know, on any given weekend, defensive coaches can, you know, stack the box and make you throw it and do what, you know, what sometimes what you don't want to do. But I'll tell you this, you know, Matt Forte is a professional. He realizes, you know, you get a window of opportunity in the NFL. And as soon as you can be replaced, well, guess what? The younger kid comes at a lot lower price tag. So those are realities, and he knows that. But as far as Forte, he needs to make sure that the next 5 weeks he looks like the all-pro running back that he's been here for most of his career, and let the chips fall where they fall. But you can't worry about that this coming Sunday. You've got to play who gives you the best chance of winning. And right now, Jeremy Langford has, and it's a combination of a couple of things. You know, Langford was able to give us a little more pop, a little more burst, more physicality running the ball than Forte. And with this offensive line, the way it's currently constituted with the rookie Grassou at center, they're not as powerful. They're not as adept at moving people. So, you know, I'm expecting to see Langford get at least 15, if not 18 carries this week. Most of his stuff will be inside. And Forte, he's more of a edge guy and catching the ball out of the backfield like, you know, we saw him do last year. So it's not a problem. It's not a bad thing. It's, you know, it's kind of a dealer's choice. Adam Gase has got to feel good about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get too cocky about this, but the Bears are on a nice roll, and it is the 49ers. I mean, this is setting up pretty sweet.
And it's hard not to look down the road. You got the Redskins, who are playing a little better at home, but on the road, they have just been, you know, a mess. And we've got them the next week. So, you know, you could see this team being, you know, I hate to say it, but you could see them being 7-5 and starting to, you know, start believing in themselves. And, you know, I remember a couple of times, you know, in my career, wild card teams would get hot. And if you get I remember Seattle went to the championship their first year as a wild card. The Raiders did it. It's doable. I'm not saying this team is, you know, going to the playoffs yet, but they're not out of it. And see, that's the beautiful thing about it. You know, you control your destiny and all you got to win. And who do you got? You got the 49ers who look like they're pretty much lost for the year. So, this is a game that, yeah we got to, you know, chalk up, and I'll start the scores. This is a game where the offense needs to be very efficient in the first half and allow the defense to turn the 49ers over a time or two and build a lead, and let's win this thing 28-10.
Yeah, that's a good number. Dave?
27-10.
What are you, we're trying to win the refrigerator freezer in the showcase showdown?
No, that was already the score I had in my head.
Okay. I don't know, Hamp. That sounds.
He's expecting you to help carry that refrigerator.
Yes. I got a little lower scoring action, but also a blowout. 16-3 Bears.
That's a good one. Hey, and guys, remember, a lot of times, you know, after a win like the Packers on Thanksgiving night, there was such a euphoria, and they're saying and you know, your analogy to golf is perfect, Steve. You think, oh wow, you know, I birdied that hole. I'm Jack Nicklaus. And the next thing you know, you got a 7. So this is kind of a good place for a veteran coaching staff to be with this team, to be able to get them refocused. Because, trust me, the 49ers don't like where they're at. They've got 2 years ago, this team was in the championship game. They still got a lot of pride. They're not going to come in and lay down. They're going to play hard early, but we got to kind of ease them across the threshold, if you know what I mean.
Do, and have a great time on Sunday. Don't hurt Carm too much, but rough him up a little bit.
No worries. We'll take care of it. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks. See you.
That's Dan Hampton. We have a winner. We'll tell you who is hiding a puck in their pants. I got a bunch of great clues I never even got to because the listeners are too smart. We'll get to that coming up in a second. And we'll also have Dean in a moment as well. And live in studio, one of our first choirs/choruses for the holiday season, the Apollo Chorus will be live in studio. Were they in last year? They were, weren't they?
Not with us, I don't believe. It's the first time they've been in here.
Were they with Kathy and Judy? Because I'm on Kathy and Judy show quite a bit.
Not Kathy and Judy, no.
Okay. Tom Jones after 9 o'clock, and then a guy that often is confused for him, Adam Hoge, after 9:30. All coming up on 720 WGN. So he hit a puck in another celebrity's pants, and I said, and Vic, you see if you can get this, famous Chicagoan, father was famous before him. What were some of the guesses we were getting then, Kev?
We had the whole bunch of Jared Paytons. We had Daly's.
Rocky Wirtz.
Rocky Wirtz, the Pritzkers, the Cusacks.
We even had Stefan Holt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
We even had Ross Cochran.
Ah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
How about this? The person has a very distinctive voice. Vic's so confused, he left his microphone. Very distinctive voice. How about this? He's published author of over a dozen titles and a celebrated writer of newspaper stuff.
That gives it away.
Don't you think? Vic, who is it?
I'm so sorry. I ran over to go write some news, and I missed what you were saying, Steve. I apologize.
It's all right. It's better. I can get all the clues out this way. And his daughter calls him Daddy Rick. I mean, come on. Right? It's this guy.
Yeah. This is Rick Kogan, and I would only do this for Steve Cochran. What would I do? I'd put a puck in my pants.
That is tremendous.
He's so stoic, and that just sounds
tremendous.
Ridiculous.
That's the first time I've heard that, and I couldn't be happier. All right, so we got a winner off the text line, right?
We did.
All right, so we have a text winner there. We'll get you a name as soon as possible, but text and phone calls always welcome when we play, and more Hawks tickets to come. Traffic. Laura is in for Mary.
Okay, listeners, let's take a journey. On West Bradley Place, that's where I get my information. Can't make a move without my deanless confirmation. You can travel Chicago, he's bringing Hollywood style to the Miracle Mile. Talking TV and movies, he'll be calling his name.
I never get tired of it.
Got the long version today.
I never get tired of it.
It's a good song.
It's very strong. How was L.A. overall?
L.A. was fine. A lot of really good interviews. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph.
Any of those be on Sunday, on the Sunday Dean Richards?
Those will not be, because we had so many interviews, so I'm going to wait until their movie comes out a little bit later on in December. That's that sister's comedy. Really, really, really funny. Also talked with Toni Collette about her awful movie that opens today. I'll tell you about in a second. I didn't quite put it that way with her when I
spoke. We're sitting down with Toni Collette and her crap movie called Krampus.
Your movie is crap. How do you feel about that?
On your last day of work, you should pull exactly that move.
Exactly right. Exactly. Who else did we talk? I told you we visited the old Johnny Carson studios in Burbank.
Right.
For a project we're working on for the release of the full-length Johnny Carson show.
Well, it sounds like a very busy trip.
Yeah. Also, and yesterday I was at Ted Koppel's house in the Washington, D.C. area.
It's funny. I thought pretty sure I just heard you say.
I was at his house.
I was mistaken. I thought I heard you say yesterday you were at Ted Koppel's house.
So I would go from California to D.C.
Did Ted know you were there?
As it turns out, eventually, yes, he did.
Okay.
Know that I was there. No, he had a great interview about his new book.
So you were invited?
I was invited.
Oh, okay.
We talked about his new book. Also, we talked about Johnny Carson because he competed against Johnny, so he had some really interesting insights. And that interview you will hear on my show on Sunday, Ted Koppel talking about his new book, fascinating, about how in jeopardy the power grid in the United States is to a terrorist attack that you don't really think about very much, right? You think of all the things that we could be attacked with.
One more thing to worry about.
Taking down our power grid, and Ted Koppel says it's a real possibility. So we'll have that.
I'm way more interested in going into a Little House on the Prairie mode anyway. I just want like a fire.
Me too.
And I have to go out and shoot my own dinner.
Yep.
You know, and I like the idea of wearing a pelt to stay warm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And you look good in a pelt.
I'm a pelt guy.
Not a lot of people can pull off a pelt, if you'll excuse the expression.
So Dean will be on Sunday morning. Meanwhile, this whole hour is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Dean is sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. Why don't you jump into the movie? So Krampus will give you the cramps because it sucks.
It's a holiday horror film that's...
It's a great idea. We wanted one of these.
Every level. You know, I've been looking for a holiday family film, if you're the Manson family, and this is it. This one winds up being...
What Christmas movie will the Manson family go to?
Right. Who doesn't like a film where the toys turn into demonic, devils?
Totally. Take the kids.
Gingerbread men are out to kill you and abduct your children. That's the best part. So you take your kids so they can see that they might be abducted by the toys that are
under
the tree.
Absolutely. Just the way the real Christmas is.
So Dean's list C-minus on that. But on a very serious note... with all gun violence so much in the headlines the last couple of years, really, but especially lately, Spike Lee's Chi-Raq opens up today, and some people are calling it big and bold and, you know, adventurous, and I think it is a big disappointment.
Wow.
And a big missed opportunity. Spike Lee had the opportunity to really say something powerful about this disease that we have in Chicago, and instead... He makes it a comedy musical satire, which I get. You know, there's this, you know, satire can be very powerful. This one is not. Would you make a comedy satire about 9/11? Would you make a comedy satire about, think of the tragedy, you know, assassinations, extermination in Rwanda? I mean, there are some subjects that I think are just too serious and don't lend themselves very well to satire. I think this is one of them. So that's my problem with this. Spike Lee obviously completely disagrees with me on this. But it's, the basic plot line of it is based on an ancient Greek comedy, Lysistrata, that is the story of...
No nookie. You want to play with guns? No nookie.
No nookie. The women withhold sex until the men stop their violence. And I think that with such a serious subject, that trivializes this, the problem that we're having of babies getting killed in the streets of Chicago.
I don't disagree.
It's a highly sexualized, over-the-top, kaleidoscope-like circus of wildly drawn characters, over-the-top scenarios that don't make sense and don't play out in real life. Most of the dialogue in this film is done in a sort of a poetry slam, rhyming sort of style, which further takes you out of the seriousness of this story. Again, some people think it's bold and adventurous, and I think it's so completely unrelatable, does not tell you anything that we already didn't know or shine any light on this very serious subject. That said, there are a couple of moments in this film, one of them from Angela Bassett, who plays... the wisdom-filled neighborhood lady that kind of sees through all the craziness that's going on. And also John Cusack, who plays a Father Flager-like role. Now, whether you like Father Flager or you don't, these two actors deliver a couple of moments of seriousness and poignancy in the film. Not enough to save the film for me, but there is a little bit of redemption in it. So I wound up giving it a C. It is adventurous, but again, big missed opportunity, in my opinion, on this.
More bad news. Scott Weiland has finally died. I say finally because, frankly, nobody's surprised that was close to him or that's followed his career.
Lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots, a long history of drug abuse. They don't even really know what happened to him. They were touring in Minnesota. He went to take a nap on the tour bus, and they found him dead. So really, that's all that we know right now. He was 48 years old.
Is that right? 48? No, 58.
58?
Yeah, 58. I think it's 58.
All right.
You're
48.
Yes. Yeah, I remember.
I knew somebody was 48.
Yeah. The Super Bowl halftime show choice is interesting and not at all interesting at the same time.
You don't like Coldplay?
Not a big Coldplay fan.
Really? I'm a Coldplay fan. They will be playing...
When I'm being told he's 48? He's 48. Scott Weiland's 48.
Then you're 58.
I'm 54, but I'll be 58.
Somebody let's hope so.
Yeah.
58. Coldplay will play the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, not a big Coldplay fan. Do we have a cut from Coldplay, Kev? I think we do, don't we?
We do, yeah.
All right, let me
hear it. Okay.
And the tears come streaming down your face.
When you lose something, you can't replace.
I don't know, Dean. It just doesn't jump. You know what
doesn't
I'm saying?
Doesn't seem like that particular cut doesn't seem like a Super Bowl halftime, show stopper.
Right.
To me, their new album, the Oval, since you're a fan, you'll be interested that their new album just dropped today. Probably didn't drop far enough for you.
I
would imagine, but that's out today as well. And I know that you can't get enough of dirty, sweaty, messy people out in Grant Park.
The problem with the story you're about to do is it means more work for me because you know how many bands I'm in.
Right. You are a member of, when Lollapalooza's here, it's nonstop for you.
It really is.
You're going from stage to stage to stage.
That's another one of the bands I was in, stage to stage to stage.
I know it. I remember when you were crowd surfing at that show. I've always said I cannot get enough of being out in that hot sun with 125,000 sweaty people each and every day. If only they would add another day to Lollapalooza.
Tell me.
That would be fantastic, and darned if they didn't this year for the 25th anniversary of the Music Fest. So Lolla this year will be July 28th, 29th, 30th, and 31st. Tickets aren't on sale yet. We don't know which bands are going to be in them. All we know for sure right now is that Steve is in about 10% of the bands that will be announced, usually sometime in April.
Well, happy Krampus to you. I'll be off next week, but...
I've got a little Krampus right now, by the way. I need a bromo seltzer. Do they even still make that?
I don't know. Let me check with Dave.
I need a bicarbonate of soda.
Dave, do they make a bicarbonate of soda, a bromo seltzer?
I believe so. Okay. Yes.
All right, now I'm off next week. Are you around the rest of the month? This isn't our last show for the year, is it?
No, I'm you kidding? Where would I go?
Okay.
What do I have to do?
Dean, Sunday morning at
Where
9.
Am I going?
Thank you, buddy.
See you.
8:41, troubling news for you, Dave. The headline says it all. 1 million beers are being recalled.
What?
Yeah,
why
1
is that?
Million beers.
Why is that?
It's an Australian beer company owned by SAB Miller recalling 1 million bottles of beer. There could be broken glass in the bottles.
Oh, that's...
Well, I think it's a good test how tough you are.
You think? Really?
Yeah. Okay. But if there's 1 million beers recalled, what does that do to your weekend?
Say, Steve, doesn't do anything to my weekend.
All right, I'm just checking.
Okay, I appreciate your concern.
It's concerned about you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
Tom Jones will be on after 9 o'clock talking about his new book, Tom Jones, Over the Top and Back, the autobiography. And if you remember what Nick said when he left this morning? He said, tell Tom Jones my mother wants to sleep with him.
Yeah, that was a little uncomfortable.
And then he went to the therapist. Mm-hmm. Adam Hogue on the Bears about 9:40, but we are very happy to welcome to the studio the Apollo Theater Chorus and Stephen Altup. Stephen, what is your very fancy and well-deserved title?
I am the music director and conductor of the Apollo Chorus of Chicago.
Now, are all these people auditioning to keep their gigs, or you like what they're doing?
They are in for this season.
Okay, that's a commitment. They're in for this season. How did you come by the Apollo? Where were you before?
Well, I was teaching at Northwestern University, and the Apollo Chorus has not had very many music directors. I'm only the ninth in 144 years,
right?
Which is extraordinary. And so they invited me to be one of several conductors who auditioned, and I was extremely fortunate to become the music director of this organization.
Now, these are fine, hardworking, caring grown-ups, and I assume you came in since you were from Northwestern and immediately, hit them with a pop quiz? You know, that type of thing?
No, we just started working together, and it's been an amazing process of growth, and the chorus just seems to get better every year.
And as the boss of the chorus, what does your day look like? What do you do during the day?
Well, I teach, I rehearse, I plan, and perform. And with Apollo, we do concerts in all the major venues of our city.
I saw the movie Whiplash, just you and I talking
right
now. You throw some stuff at these guys occasionally?
Just some bad jokes every once in a
while. Oh, that's it?
That's it. I try to keep...
Not throwing a symbol at anyone's head, that kind of move?
I try to give them symbolism.
Oh, symbolism.
Yeah.
I understand what you
mean.
But
no actual symbols. Right. Too noisy.
We're very glad you're here. We look forward to hearing them in just a second, but I want to make sure people understand there's lots of opportunities to see these folks perform. You want to tell me about a few?
Absolutely. We are doing Handel's Messiah at the Harris Theater on Saturday, December 19th and Sunday, December 20th. The times are 7 p.m. and 2 p.m. respectively. And the chorus has been doing Handel's Messiah in Chicago every year since 1879. It's a great holiday tradition for our city.
That's on Randolph, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's the beautiful Harris Theater for Music and Dance.
And we'll get traffic, then we'll come back and they'll sing. But I'm interested for you to tell parents, grandparents, if they have kids they believe have some talent and certainly have a love for music, which I would assume would be the first part of the job. What do you advise them to do? Maybe they want to go to, you know, my dream would be for my kid to love this and go to school for music someday and maybe do this professionally. What do you encourage?
I would say first to expose them to as many opportunities as possible, which our city is fantastic for, and then to observe and listen to what really seems to turn them on, whatever that might be. Parents might see visions of their child being a concert pianist, but if they're really interested in playing a wind instrument or singing, that's what they should do, because that's what's going to be the most genuine connection.
And everything that I know from you know, and of course as a fellow artist, everything I know from this comes from the fact that you have to love it.
Absolutely.
So if you've got a kid that really, 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 really doesn't want to play piano, but you wanted to play piano and you never got the opportunity, you're not going to turn that kid into a concert pianist, are you?
Most likely not. It's true that piano is an excellent foundation for anything you do in music, but the best advice my father ever gave me was do what you love and the money will follow. And maybe that love isn't music, but whatever it is, I think that's still the advice I give my students at Northwestern, actually.
Sure. Well, nice to have you guys here. And they will sing in just a moment. Let me get to Laura Vaughn, who's in for Mary, to do a traffic update first on 720 WGN. It's the Apollo Theater Chorus, Saturday, December 19th at 7, Sunday, December 20th at 2 at Harris Theater for Music and Dance on East Randolph. And they will now sing for us here on the Steve Cochran Show at 720 WGN.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing.
Is that how beautiful? You know, because we're wearing headphones, we can only offer a sitting ovation. Otherwise, we would be standing. Very nice,
beautiful.
Stephen. What else do you have for us? You know, it's just amazing. Every time we have great talent in the studio like this, I think two things. I think one, it's beautiful, and it's two, I can't do that. Another round of applause. Very, very, very nice. Stephen, did you hear anything you didn't like there? Because I loved all of it.
No, they did a wonderful job, and I'm proud of them.
It's not easy singing at this hour.
it's really fun to be here.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is not a normal working hour for these voices.
Well, that's true. There's a difference between rehearsal and performance. In rehearsal, I'm constantly analyzing what can be better and trying to use my imagination and all the hearing I can do. In performance, we're just doing it. And it's not time for that analysis.
Do any of you feel like you sing better in the morning? I mean, that's a crazy question, right? No. Nobody sings better in the morning.
Only in your shower.
Yeah, I sound unbelievable in the shower. If we can get 40,000 people in there, that would be tremendous. Can we get another song before you run?
Sure.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do it.
You got it.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. And again, it's the Apollo Theater Chorus. I want to make sure I get your website out here, too, so people can get tickets. ApolloChorus.org. Season subscriptions are a steal, Kev. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to get you a season subscription for Christmas.
Awesome. Thank you.
I mean, that price has got to be $100 for the season?
Great music for $100.
That's ridiculous. You need to charge more for that.
Well, yeah. Until we do, people should take advantage
Absolutely. Individual tickets, $30 to $60. If you want to go to a bad movie, have a good time. If you want to see great artists at work, you need to do this. It's ApolloChorus.org. Individual tickets or book a group as well at 312-427-5620. We're back after this. You see the talent we're bringing in here, David?
Unbelievable.
I mean, you and I sitting around, it's a couple of chumps with microphones. But these guys, something else. ApolloChorus.org. Again, it's ApolloChorus.org. And whenever you're ready, please continue the entertainment.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient yuletide carol, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. See the blazing yule before us, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Strike the harp and join the chorus, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Follow me in merry measure, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. While I tell of yuletide treasure, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Fast away the old year passes, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Hail the new ye lads and lasses, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Sing we joyous all together, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. Heedless of the wind and weather, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Tremendous! Wow, fantastic. If you're not into Christmas spirit, now we can't help you. Please, Stephen, tell everybody again where they can come see you guys.
Love to have them come hear the most committed and long-standing performance of Handel's Messiah in Chicago at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance on Saturday, December 19th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, December 20th at 2 p.m. with the Apollo Chorus of Chicago.
ApolloChorus.org or 312-427-5620. Thank you all for getting up and doing this. I appreciate it very much. Apollo folks inspired me. We're waiting on Tom Jones. I thought I'd do a little number. Here it goes like this.
It's not unusual. You want to be loved by anyone.
What do you think? Not bad. Huh?
Wow, you can really sing.
It's not unusual. You want to have fun with anyone. When I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual. You are the same big crowd. I want to go.
The tough part was to get the choir back in here to sing back around the vocals.
They sound a little different. Yeah.
Tom Jones' autobiography is called Tom Jones Over the Top and Back, and he will join us here in just a second. We'll talk about an amazing career and an amazing life. The book is out and available everywhere. You know what I always say? You got to get two copies. You're careless. You'll lose the first one. And when you get two copies, you'll be better for it. So, and remind me to have him sign the book over the phone.
Does that work? Oh,
yeah, I always ask if somebody's not here, I always ask them to sign the book and what would they write, and then I fill it out to myself.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very heartfelt.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. So he's wrapping up another interview now, but he'll be with us in just a second.
You know what I heard is really amazing to me for a guy in his line of work? How many years he's been married?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. 58.
Yeah.
58 years, and to come from a mining town during the war in Wales, mm-hmm. and he was a, he had some significant illness stuff going on when he was a kid. Tom Jones, 100 million records sold, 19 top 40 hits in America, 36 in the UK. And one of the more enduring things about him was, you know, he came from that era where he could have been one of the Vegas showroom guys and become sort of not hip anymore.
Right.
And frankly, I mean, look, you look at Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hate this comparison. But you look at Sinatra. Sinatra at 100 years old, Sinatra never, at the end, Sinatra wasn't comfortable because he couldn't relate to younger audiences mm-hmm. anymore. There's very few people who can pull that off. Tom Jones, Tony Bennett still can pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the reasons he's as big a star as he is. And much like me, Tom Jones had women throw their underwear at him.
Oh.
Usually happens every morning on Michigan Avenue to me. They throw their underwear at him. Good morning, Tom Jones.
Good morning.
Congratulations on the book.
Thanks.
What was harder, writing the book or having the last the career last this long?
Well, it was. I mean, it was a delight. I mean, the career has been a delight, and so has the book. I enjoyed writing it because it brought back all the memories. You know, I've got them all in my head. So I thought it was about time I wrote them down, because other people were writing books and, you know, about me, and then fans would come up to me and say, "Could you sign your book?" And I said, "Well, it's not really mine." But they, of course, they didn't know that. So I thought I'd better write my own.
You know, the we were just talking about being married for as long as you have off the air, and obviously...
And it's 59 years in March. In March, come March, March the 2nd.
And has the Pope welcomed her as a saint yet, or is that coming later?
I don't know.
It really is incredible, and because not only are you a guy that's married for 59 years? Oh, by the way, you happen to be the guy that most of the women you come across with in your line of work want to sleep with. I'm very impressed with 59 years.
Well, thank you.
Yes. I don't know what to say to you other than that. I just want you to know I'm impressed.
No, it is, though. But, I mean, you know, my wife and I, we were kids together. We come from the same place. It's, you know, it's we've always seen eye to eye. And we've always, the sense of humor is always... We've always had a great sense of humor, and we laugh at the same, and we still laugh at the same things, you know, and that's it, you know. I mean,
and don't you need to, have somebody that knew you before you were Tom Jones?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Well, when I, you know, I remember I might have been getting too big for my boots at one point, and I was playing pool with a friend of mine, and I was getting a bit too large, I suppose, and. My wife said, just a minute. She said, you don't really think you're Tom Jones, do you? I said, well, of course I am. She said, it's Tommy Wood what I married. She said, not Tom Jones. Said,
that's okay. Tremendous.
All right.
let me back you up a bit. You tell the story in the book. I mean, first off, you had to know how to throw a punch. You came from another part of the world in that era in time. Yeah. Well, you better know how to throw a punch. But I guess I didn't realize it. What was it, 10, 11, 12 years old? You were, like, deathly ill for a couple of years.
Yeah, well, I had TB. Thank God they caught it early enough. You know, I had a spot on the lung. And but, you know, a lot of people at that time, because it was in 1952, I was in bed then from 1952 to 1954.
How about that?
And, you know, it was in the house. You know, the first year I was bedridden, and then the second year I could get up for a couple of hours a day, but I couldn't leave the house. I was in the house but I didn't have to go to hospital or anything. It was just I had to have a rest, you know. And but the doctor said, you will get well because we've caught it early enough. Because one of my cousins, I thought it was hereditary because some of my cousins had it. But they said, no, because we lived so close to one another and we were in and out of one another's houses all the time. And that was it. But one of my cousins died from it. And another cousin had a lung taken out. She had a lung removed, you know, So I was lucky that they got mine early.
Yeah, and obviously lasting effects, not so much. But in any way, shape, or form, did going through that give you the uniqueness of your voice?
Well, I was singing before that. You know, I was singing ever since I could remember. I've been singing, but it taught me a lesson, though. You know, not to take health for granted, because you know, most kids, God bless them, you know, they're out playing and everything, and you don't think about it. But when you do get an illness, it does make you think, and it made me think. And the radio was my companion, you know, and I listened to the radio constantly, and I've got most of my influences then. I mean, I got influences before that, but you know, I really concentrated on music then, and you know, that was it. So it was something to learn. And another thing that came from it, I couldn't go to the coal mine because my father was a coal miner,
right.
And so was his brothers, you know, and it was a coal mining town. But the doctor said, whatever you do, you cannot go in the coal mine. So that stopped me going there. So it was a blessing in disguise in some respects.
You know, here's the thing. You're a guy from a mining town in Wales with a coal mining father who's going to put on shiny clothes and be a singer. You got to get the book just to figure out how that little piece of magic happened and how that transition happens, because it's that anything can happen moment. It's a one in a million. It's a 1 in 100 million shot. And it takes perseverance and dedication. And I hope you don't mind a comparison, but I think it's legitimate. I mean, you got the heart of a blues man. You always have.
Yeah.
And to be able to transition from not becoming that Vegas showroom act and to still remain hip is not an easy trick. And I said Sinatra couldn't do it, but you did.
Well, you know, when I was in Vegas for two shows a night for a month straight, you know, that could weigh you down. It did with Elvis Presley, you know, because we were there at the same time. And it had an effect on him, you know, doing two shows every night, as I say, you know.
Sure.
it can weigh you down. So, I mean, I survived it. You know, I came through it. But I've always tried to keep my ears open and put songs in, you know. I mean, and that's before I recorded Kiss, you know. Young people would be there either with their parents or they, I don't know for what reason, but I mean, they used to come in and see me and say, why don't you record the songs that you sing on stage? You know, Kiss being one of them.
Right.
And so I always tried to stay current. You know, I was always listening and trying to put other things in besides the hits that I've had. I mean, I've never stopped singing Delilah and what's, you know, I mean, what's New Pussycat sometimes, but It's Not Unusual and The Green, Green Grass of Home. You know, they're all on Thunderball, you know, that I did for James Bond's
sure.
Movie. So I keep them in. I've changed the arrangements a bit, but I keep them in. And I did when I was in Vegas. I always tried to, put in some blues tunes, you know, and some 50s rock and roll tunes, some soul music. I've always loved soul music, you know, Wilson Pickett and Solomon Burke and Sam and Dave, you know, and
sure.
People like that. So I've always put those songs in, you know, in my show. So I've always tried to keep and to be true to myself.
Well, you know, it's your core. It's your core. And by the way, you and I share this similarity. We're both at our core black entertainers.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Now, I know you got to run, but before you do, I want people to get the book for a million reasons. Again, it's called the Tom Jones Over the Top and Back, the autobiography. Great picture on the cover, by the way. And Tom Jones tells all the stories in here. They're great. And he mentioned Elvis. There's a great story. I'm not going to give it away, but there's a great story in there about when you met Elvis and you were a complete dork.
Yes.
And then he turned out to be your friend. But since you're not here, I need to ask you what you would have said to me, Steve Cochran, had you been here to sign the book. So far, I've got Steve. What else do you want me to write?
Okay. Well, did you get were you named after, you know, Steve Cochran was an actor?
That's who my mother named me after. She had the hots for that guy, that B movie actor.
Ah, see, so I know something about you. You see that?
How about that?
Maybe you don't know about me.
Do you know how he died, by the way?
No.
He died. He was on a boat off the coast of Los Angeles, off the coast of the beaches, with a bunch of hot women who never explained why he died.
Maybe he had a heart attack.
That's exactly right. All right, so Steve, I knew your namesake. Something like that?
Yes.
And
I can write that for you.
All right. And then thanks for the greatest interview. I'm just finishing this for you. Thanks for the greatest interview I've ever given. And I should have given you credit for more of my career. All my love, your best friend, Tom. Is that all good?
Well, that's a lot. I'm a bit dyslexic. I don't know whether I'll be able to spell all that.
Congratulations. A great book. I know people are going to love it. Get it for the holidays. Get it for somebody you love. Tom Jones, Over the Top and Back. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
See you later. It was a good time, man.
Sounds like a nice guy.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 9:20. You want to give me a little something for Dave Ennett from Tom Jones?
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Go Cats.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Go Cats. Go Cats. Go Cats.
9:21. Adam Hook on the Bears before 10 on 720 WGN.
Fresh from his Chicago Blackhawks Shoot the Puck competition.
And his co-starring role as the mayor in Chirac.
D.B. Sweeney in the studio.
At 10:35.
Friday with Bill and Wendy starts next after Steve on 720 WGN.
Hey, it's Steve Cochran. You need to hurry into Mattress Firm for huge year-end savings on the best brands. $300 in Mattress Firm bonus cash good towards frames, accessories, and delivery when you purchase select Tempur-Pedic mattress sets. Sleep happy with 0% APR for 3 years. Mattress Firm guarantees you're always going to get the lowest price on your mattress. It's free if that doesn't happen. Mattress Firm knows mattresses, and they know how to help you save money and shop happy. They've even invented their own shopping system. It's called Comfort by Color. Makes finding a new mattress easy and enjoyable. Beds are color-coded. Yellow means firm, orange means plush, and red means pillow top. Find your comfort, find your color. It's that simple to shop for a new mattress. Don't miss the year-end sale going on at Mattress Firm, America's number one Tempur-Pedic retailer and the Second City's first stop for better sleep. Go to mattressfirm.com and find the store near you. Mattress Firm. Save money. Sleep happy. You deserve it.
Okay, from the start.
The acerola cherry.
Alfalfa leaf, aloe vera, apples, asparagus, banana.
Beets, bell pepper, broccoli.
Blueberries, blackberries, cranberry.
We make Texas superfood from 55 raw, vine-ripened fruits and vegetables. And then we add nothing.
Pineapple, sweet potato,
papaya, parsley.
In a capsule or a powder, one daily dose of Texas superfood delivers the healthy benefits of 55. Count them. 55 fresh fruits and vegetables, and you can see them all on TexasSuperfood.com.
Raspberry, spinach, the nutrients that we need on a daily basis.
Thousands of people benefit from taking Texas Superfood every day. Shouldn't you be one of them?
TexasSuperfood.com.
Doctors, pharmacists, nurses, and your grandmother all recommend that you eat more fruits and vegetables every day. So if you can't, won't, or don't, Texas Superfood is made for you.
It's borderline shocking how much energy I have.
Join us on TexasSuperfood.com.
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 Time for us to talk about your retirement. I don't mean to talk about it in front of other people and, you know, talk about you this way, but you're not prepared. And if you're not prepared, what do you want me to do? Okay, well, I'll give you a little help. I'll give you a guy. I got a guy. You should get a guy. The guy I think you should get is Bill Geiger, Chicago's retirement planning expert. Doesn't want you to lose what you've worked so hard for. And he's got a complimentary website. It's all filled with information. It's called growmyretirement.com. You can go there now, and you'll learn the tips and tricks to potentially help grow your portfolio and lock in your gains before the next possible market correction. So you won't have to worry about that 20 to 30 years called retirement without a paycheck, because you'll be prepared, because then it's not just me. You'll have a guy, too. Bill Geiger, sign up for Bill's weekly report. Again, it's at growmyretirement.com. What did you tell me the song is?
Black Keys, Howlin'.
How many times have I asked you this in the last 2 years?
3 or 4, 9 or 10.
Can you give me an update on when we're going to have in the next live music act? I know you're going to do a lot of them next week, but the one, of course, I'm looking forward to is the kid that thought I was 75 years old.
Yes, that will be the Steve Cochran official Christmas show, December 18th. So that Friday, you get back.
Oh, that's our Christmas special.
Right.
Tom Jones just agreed to play it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That will be the Oakdale Choir, mm-hmm. Oakdale Christian Academy Choir coming mm-hmm. in on the 18th. Let's see who else we've got here. Okay, so you want next week's or no, just when you're in?
Yeah, you give me next week.
Okay, next week we've got a whole bunch. We've got a Community Christian Church on Monday.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
That's my church.
It's your church. December 9th, Vernon Hills High School's coming in. On December 10th, Goodman Theater is going to come in. And on December 11th, Andrews High School, that's Andrea's High School, they'll be coming in. And the day you're back, Willowbrook. That was set up with the help of Mary Vandeveld. December 15th is Oriole Park Middle School. And John DeCoste helped set that up. Ides of March is going to be in December 16th.
Oh, that's great.
Jim Peterick and the crew. And, yeah, again, December 18th, Oakdale Christian Academy Choir. My alma mater, Hersey High School, on December 21st, and a couple other are in the works for the week of Christmas.
Couple of texters from the 847, Tom Jones, holy crap, I thought he was an American.
Honestly, so did I until I talked to him.
574 area code. Tom Jones was fantastic in Mars Attacks. I don't think that made the book. You remember Mars Attacks? Wasn't that where Jack Nicholson was the president?
Yeah, he played, I think, two or three different characters in that movie.
Yeah. From the 815, always interested in Tom Jones. My now 92-year-old mom is from, I can't make that out. My grandfather worked at a pub there where he sang, and they went to Tom's wedding. Oh, I guess it must be from, maybe that's why I can't, maybe that's why I can't make it out. It's a town in Wales. Is it Pontypridd? P-O-N-T-Y-P-R-I-D-D.
Sounds good to me.
I was first in Chicago to get his record, which was sent to me by my grandfather. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Direct from Wales. Thank you for that very much. And yeah, listen, I was a Tom Jones fan before, and after spending some time with him, why wouldn't you be? And thanks to all the other very nice texts today.
Do you remember his TV show?
Sure. TV show was huge.
It was, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And didn't he, wasn't the story he'd fly in to do it, then he'd fly back home over there?
Something
which
like
was kind of revolutionary then, because it wasn't an easy flight.
Yeah.
And I was just a little kid. I mean, you were in high school, but I was just tiny. I was a toddler. You were in college.
High school.
You had just graduated from college. We're starting your first job. I hadn't been born yet, but I mean, that's a while ago.
Yes, a long time.
A couple of things to clean up here before we go any further. One is the food blog. And every week, Kevin posts new pictures of what he's eaten. And it's very popular. Frankly, we're baffled as to why you people like to look at it so much, but we're glad you do. And what's on the food blog now?
A whole bunch of good stuff. Of course, the Thanksgiving, all the food I ate over the Thanksgiving break. I think there's four or five different pizzas I had consumed. And our little holiday get-together over at Howell's and Hood, there's a bunch of pictures from that. I think we ordered everything under the appetizer lineup there from Howell's and Hood, and it was all delicious.
I get nothing for saying this, and I pay through the nose when I go there. But you know Howell's and Hood slogan, it's on the way to my car.
Right.
They do a calamari there. It'll make you cry.
It was
that
great.
Sauce drizzled over the top.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, I've also got Gator's Wings on here, the all-time best, my favorite. Gator's Wings in Palatine, and my mom's carrot cake makes an appearance. So WGNradio.com/food diary.
Ross Cochran, please join me in the studio. By the way, I haven't mentioned this in quite a while this morning, but I am Jerry Wells.
Right.
I'll explain that in a couple of minutes. But the reason I wanted Ross to come in here is because I'm going to be off all next week. Is Ross caught in traffic?
He's coming.
Okay. I'm going to be off all next week, and we are in baby go zone time. My first ever grandchild, Ross's first child, Lauren. As far as we know, at any moment could be having that baby.
I feel the need to clear up the misconception that like all of a sudden a baby could be here. That's not technically like it'll be several hours.
How do you know? You haven't gone through it.
That's
I was
true.
There when you showed up. You took a while.
Right. Right. Yeah. I took a while. It's not quite the sitcom of all of a sudden there's a baby.
Sometimes it happens quickly, though.
Yeah.
Yes, but even the quickest is, you know.
What is your – I feel like we're no help to you when we start telling our
That's
own
true.
Stories.
That's true.
But
you mean just with stories. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What is your what is your number one concern about the day as the day goes on? I mean, are you concerned about – trying not to fall asleep in the bed next to her like Steve did, or
right.
asking a doctor about some physical ailment you had like Dave did, or talking football while her leg falls off the table like I did to your mother?
I would say all of that I would definitely like to avoid. But also the number one concern I would have would be saying something or doing something that throws Lauren off. I have a feeling that I'm going to be pretty quiet that day. Because Lauren's going to make me be pretty quiet that day.
Well, here's the thing. She will be out of her mind because that's what happens to a woman in that position. You know, and I could speak from that, but, you know, because your mother was out of her mind.
Right.
Your mother actually wanted me to take her home.
Yeah.
While she was in full labor with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there she was considerably uncomfortable, and she said under her breath, "We can leave. You should just get the car. We can leave. Just take me out of here."
And had you done that, I might not be working here.
No, I don't think it would have been a good idea because I'm not sure you would have been born on the way to the garage. And I'm not a doctor, even
That's
though
true.
I play one. But you're going to be a phenomenal dad.
Thank you.
And I couldn't be more proud of you, and I couldn't be more happy for you and Lauren. And I can't wait to meet this young girl that will be my favorite grandchild.
I can't wait for you to meet her either.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you going to videotape, or not videotape, are you going to in some way digitally record the moment?
No. No.
No. The wife has to agree to that.
No, absolutely not.
No. No, and it was weird.
We and got, no selfie sticks in the room.
No. Well, yeah. no selfie sticks in any room that my daughter's in. That's just a rule that I've established.
Ever?
Ever, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, she just can't be anywhere near them.
Right. But she's very bright, Dave. They've done some ultrasound testing, and she's already been admitted to Harvard.
Really? Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
And Northwestern, just so you know.
Good.
Yeah.
Go Cats.
I knew there was one in there somewhere. So we don't really have a plan on how we're going to handle the announcement of this to this fine audience.
Yeah.
Who's been very supportive of you.
Incredibly
and very nice.
Supportive. Thank you all.
But in the meantime, we'll figure that out when it happens. And people can still catch up on your dad podcast you've been doing.
Yeah, so a new, the final one of the year is one with Dave Foster, who we met on Monday. So you can go to WGM Plus, check out the Dad for Life podcast, or it's always linked on your social media, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show or at Cochran Show. You'll find me talking to Dave Foster about his three kids and how he decided it'd be a really good idea to start a brand new not-for-profit charity while raising three kids all under the age of 6 or 7.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call. And that not-for-profit is called?
Carpe Ventus, CarpeVentus.
And very cool stuff that they're doing.
Yes.
So let's get out there and let's have a good baby.
Thanks, Coach.
It's 9:33. I'll explain why I'm Jerry Wells coming up in just a second. But before we do that, Kev, what am I doing right now?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
.9 44 now, and we continue with our friend Adam Hoag, who's writing what on his Bears blog this week?
I am writing about, let's see, I wrote the other day about the accountability, basically how they've turned this whole thing around, what John Fox and the coaching staff has been preaching.
And it's been very impressive.
It has been very impressive, and see if they can continue it on this week. For the first time, they're favorite. The favorite in the game.
Before
and not just a small favorite, but a
significant
full
favorite.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Before we, and that's a lot of points in the NFL. before we get to that, though, let's back the truck up to last night a little bit. If you're the Lions and you've had a disappointing season by any measure, regardless how the last couple of weeks have gone, and you're up 20-0 midway through the third, and you lose on a penalty, rightly or wrongly called, and an Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary that's the longest in NFL history, Jim Caldwell has been fired, or are they waiting till noon?
That defense on that Hail Mary was completely inexcusable.
Why not put
Megatron back there?
Put everybody back
there. Yeah, but I mean, he catches everything in the end zone.
There's only one play. I've never understood why the NFL doesn't put 11 guys in the end zone. There's one play.
Well, the Bears kind of do that, don't they? I mean, when they have a situation like that, they put everybody back.
They do it when the other team's at the 30 yard.
Yeah.
Look, and this explains everything. Jim Caldwell said after the game that they were expecting a lateral play, not a Hail Mary.
Oh, stop.
So
then you have to fire him.
Yeah.
You have to fire him right now.
That in the NFL.
I'm going to hold. You fire him.
I'll go fire him?
Yeah, I'll hold.
Look, not only do they not have Calvin Johnson on the field, which I agree with, by the way, he should be out there. You rush three guys that didn't contain the quarterback. That's problem number one. You can't let Aaron Rodgers get a running start into a 61-yard throw that he could probably make on his back foot already.
Yeah, that's a good point. So let's rush four guys and let's put seven guys in the end zone.
You still have the numbers there, except then your secondary is all playing the back half of the end zone. Yep. It's like they realize that it's the goal line that creates a touchdown, not the end line.
Yeah, unbelievable.
They're guarding the wrong line. And then I don't know if you saw the zoomed out view. There are two Lions players standing in the middle of the field, nowhere near anybody.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, Packers win. The Bears would like to be chasing only the Vikings as the Packers continue to wither away, but frankly, that didn't happen. So take care of what you can take care of. You got the 49ers. This is a must win because you want the playoff run to continue, but it's a must win to continue the growth of this team. You can't lose this game.
No, you can't. And this is one of those where you see how they handle some success for the first time this season. Coming in, you know, most of the time they've won a game and then they've immediately been the underdogs again and had to play that role. And it's a different mentality when you come in against a team like the 49ers that are playing poorly. They're not very well coached. Sean Drawn is their running back right now. He was with the Bears last year and got cut on a very bad Bears team. So the running game, he stepped in okay, but this is an area where the Bears have actually struggled the last 2 weeks in stopping the run, and they should be able to improve that this week. And then offensively, you know, despite winning that game in Green Bay last week, they had a ton of problems, and they need to improve those problems and make it look a little bit more like St. Louis a couple weeks ago when they dominated. That's how Sunday should look. I don't know if it will, but that's what it should look like.
If there is a hole that the 49ers could exploit against these Bears, what phase of the game concerns you?
Oh, special teams still.
Yep.
I mean, and I made the prediction on the podcast we do every week on WGNRadio.com that I don't think the Bears defense is going to allow a touchdown this week. And maybe that's a little bit bold, but that's the 49ers offense, especially when they go on the road. They're not very good. The problem is, can the offense be consistent enough to take advantage? And can special teams just not screw up? Because this special teams unit for the Bears is still continuing to give up big plays, and they very well may give up a touchdown, and that might keep the 49ers in the game. But if those other areas are, you know, at least respectable, then I think the Bears defense certainly gives them a chance to win this game and probably more.
So if the special teams end up giving up four touchdowns, we're in trouble. Otherwise, we look good.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I got 16-3. I think it's low scoring.
I said 27-10 and Hamp had 28-10.
Yeah, how about that move?
20-6.
How about that move, Adam? Hamp goes 28-10 and then Dave follows with 27-10.
I had it written down. I mean, right.
Price is right.
Yeah, exactly. He's looking for a beatdown.
Steve, it was written down right here.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it better. Okay. And Adam, what was your score? I missed it.
20-6.
20-6. Yeah. Well, you're going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
Yeah. And
bright and early, Sunday morning.
And then I am out next week, so will Adam be on Monday morning?
Absolutely, if he's up for it.
Okay. Let's book
him
right now.
All right.
Well, I mean, you're not doing like Steve Harvey's show, are you?
No. No, they haven't asked me yet.
Okay.
If we didn't put him on, it'd be like Martellus Bennett. Next week, he'd be kind of pouting.
Then he would do Steve Harvey's show. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Martellus and I have a lot in common.
Well, I know that people confuse you often.
Yes, all the time.
Before we go, there's a weird thing that goes on in preparation, the media preparation for the games that I was not aware of.
Yeah.
And you were talking to Kevin about this off the air. So tell me what this thing is.
So it started with Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune. I guess this is something. He came over from the Washington beat in Washington, D.C., and they, I guess, did this out there where every week the opposing head coach and one of the players does a conference call with the visiting media. So this week we talked to Jim Tomsulo, the 49ers head coach, and Navarro Bowman, one of their players. And the Bears do the same thing with the 49ers media this week. So at some point this season, we just started doing this thing where we just give a nice, warm, loud greeting on the conference call and just kind of see how the opposing head coach and players react. So I believe Kevin has a sound. This is what it sounded like this
week. You want Tomsulo or
Yeah, Tomsulo. Give me the coach.
Yeah.
Hello there.
Hey, Coach Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Jim, what did your defense do better against Arizona last week?
Just the concept of total team defense. What was the hello about? That was cool.
We just like to greet the coaches warmly on the teleconference.
It's a tradition. Yeah, that's why Ditka left Pittsburgh and left Chicago. So
there you go. There you go.
All right, and who else do you have? You got another one?
Yeah, you have Navarro Bowman, right?
Yeah, you ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Navarro?
Yeah.
It's just the oddest thing.
Oh, it's weird.
It's just the strangest
strange.
Thing.
Because that's my favorite one.
There is an unwritten rule that you can't cheer in the press box.
Right.
You can't make any. You know, you're all supposed to be sour-faced professionals.
Right.
It's just a very weird
It's actually a written rule in many press boxes.
Is it?
Yes. So it'll say no cheering in the press box. This isn't the press box, and this isn't necessarily cheering for the team. This is
they're kind of greeting him.
But it's just being, we're just being nice, Steve.
No, is it kind of mocking them, and they don't know they're being mocked?
Well, it depends. Some of them take it. I don't know if they take it as nicely as the 49ers. last week with Julius Peppers, he didn't even respond.
What's the dead silence? What's the worst? Have you got anybody hang up?
No, but I kind of hope we do.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you guys working hard.
Yeah.
It's Adam Hoge on the beat this weekend.
I will be on Saturday at some point.
Okay, good.
With the guys. I don't even figure that out yet.
All right, good. Check your local listings. See you, buddy.
See you guys.
That's Adam Hoge, and this is 720 WGN.